You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Doesn't like you.
I'm sorry.
I don't like you either. You just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
This little one's not worth the effort. Come, let me get you something.
Wanna learn how to tie your shoe? It's a very easy thing to do. Just sit on down and I'll give you the scoop. What's that? It's called the loop-de-loop. You gotta take lace in each hand. You go over and under again. You make a loop-de-loop and pull. And your shoes are looking cool. You go over and back, left to right. Loop-de-loop and you pull them tight. Like bunny ears or a Christmas bow. Lace them up and you're ready to go. You make a loop-de-loop and pull, and your shoes are looking cool. You make a loop-de-loop and pull, and your shoes are looking cool.
Good. We can finally start the big meeting.
Let's begin, shall we? Shall we?
Zibbity! Photograph of the victims, my bike, and me. Exhibit B. Another photograph.
What's missing from this picture? It's just me, without my bike.
Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry? Exhibit C. The horn I was picking up
at Chuck's Bike-O-Rama.
When my bike was actually stolen. Exhibit D. Jimmy.
What is this? Too late.
Chip.
Looks like a pen.
Exactly. I bought this pen 1 hour before my bike was stolen.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Exhibit Q.
A scale model of the entire mall!
X marks the scene of the crime. These arrows here show the exact position of the sun and the hour of the crime.
Jupiter was aligned with Pluto! The moon was in the sun! Please save your questions until I'm through, Chuck!
Well, when will that be? A long time we wait. We've been here for over 3 hours now, and I'm not sure if any of us can see what all this is supposed to mean.
Supposed to mean?
Supposed to mean?
I think everyone here knows what this is supposed to mean. I've gone over something again and again and again and again. Like I have. Certain questions get answered, others spring up. The mind plays tricks on you, you play tricks back. It's like you're unraveling a big cable knit sweater
that someone keeps knitting Knitting, 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 knitting.
I like the pretty lies.
So do I! Hey, everybody! Woo-hee-hee-hee! Wheez be back! How's it going, everybody? It's Friday! It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry, baby! And you know what? It's our four-year anniversary by one day early. Tomorrow, September 5th. And if you want to get technical, we did like two shows, episode 1 and 2, in August. I didn't know how to release them yet, so September 5th, I released 1 and 2 at the same time in 2005, I believe it was. Is that right? 2005? I think. But anyway, Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey! And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Yay!
We've all been doing this since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
You know, we don't have Vanessa here. That's really sad that she's not here to share this with us. But I think, do I have that right, guys? 2005? Because I'm really bad with that kind of stuff. But
well, ask our historian.
Yeah, Bill, sorry, he said yes.
Yes.
I remember
saying it, even if it was wrong.
It's like the last 2 weeks of August 2005, we did episode 1, then 2. And I was like, okay, I recorded it. Now then, how do I make people listen? How do I get people to listen? What do I do?
I don't even know how to edit these things, but I'm going to really.
Yeah, how do you podcast it? Do you just like set it on a shelf or something? I mean, how do you do this? And, you know, I had to figure out you got to get a host and pay and people download it. It has to go on a feed that they subscribe. It was a big pain in the butt, but. Hey, cut to 175 shows later, and here we are. Here's some celebration music, guys. Woo! Yeah! Mosh! Woo! I love Burt music.
Burt metal!
That sounds like a pig oinking.
Steven, mosh pig! Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm banging my head. God, I love this music. I could just hit the whole CD of this shit.
Burp death metal.
Yeah. That's what it's called. Burp death metal. Because it starts to get...
My favorite death metal is K-9ness with the...
Oh, yeah.
The pit bull.
This is my
growling.
Favorite part, man. When it starts to get real... Yeah.
Heavy.
This is the gay part.
Oh, excuse me, guys. Ah, what a celebration, everybody! Okay, cut the music, Foggy.
How many sodas does this guy drink?
No kidding. I gotta think. When did Foggy join us? Episode 3, I think, or was it episode 2? He wasn't with us since the beginning, but we welcomed him with open arms, didn't we? Over time. So
he's that the fourth member.
There's one thing you guys don't know about him, though.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Oh, exactly. Foggy's blind. He's gay. I mean, nah,
he's gay and blind.
He's both.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But hey, guys, we're back. Bill, the Nowhere Mulberry Book Club, The Wasteland Show. We will record it tomorrow. We were going to record it yesterday. Didn't happen. Just because of things, but it will happen tomorrow. I got two really good voicemails from two listeners. That's all we need, Bill.
And I'm really excited about starting Wizard in Glass. I was at the bookstore. You guys may not know, Half Price Books has a 20% off Labor Day sale. And I picked it up and I looked at it. I was like, yeah, I can read this. And I flip it. I can read this in a month is what I'm thinking. Really, it's like 3 weeks. So I look at the back and it's like 627 pages. Holy shit.
You're going to have to do more than just read that on the shitter.
You know, when I was reading The Wastelands, I was like, man, this is over 400 pages. Hey, I'm really proud of myself. The next freaking book is like over 600. And you know what is it? I think
try The Stand at over 1,200 pages.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Is that the full version?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Insomnia looks like a phone book. I've never read it, but I see it on a bookshelf. It
I've
looks
got
like
Insomnia.
A friggin' phone book. You could
yeah,
kill
I
somebody.
I want to read Insomnia really bad.
You could hit somebody over the head and kill them with Insomnia. But I'm really excited about cracking that bill and getting on to the next book. There's kind of like this, after I finish a book, I want to just get it the show over with so I can start on the next book. And if too much time passes, I start to lull into a depression. You guys.
I was on Facebook and Walt had a suggestion for another book. And I said, just call in or put it on the suggestion page for you guys.
Yeah, just email us. Yeah. We'll take suggestions. Like I said, right now we have so many books to read that actually, I think even we have our next book lined up. You know, but we're not going to talk about it yet because we got
you
so
mean
much
our next
to read.
Book series?
A book series, yes. But I don't know if we're going to mention that right now, Bill, because first we got to get through this series.
Yeah, it's too early.
You know what
we're
I mean?
We're not going to mention that it's Harry Potter. Just
yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, no, not the Harry Potter. But, guys, we have a lot of voicemail. Check it out. We have 6 voicemails. The first one is Adam. Let's see what Adam has to say to us. I'm really excited. Can you guys tell?
Jason, Steven, and Bill, what's going on? This is Adam calling out from California. I'm actually standing in the middle of the home theater that me and my dad are building. We're building a custom home. Sweet. We're going to live in it. And it has awesome. A frigging movie theater in it with risers and everything. That's right. I'm pretentious. I'm building a movie theater. Not to sound that way, but I figured you guys would think that was pretty cool. But anyways, to get on with the subject here, I've been listening to Mulberry Old School a lot, and I've listened to this week's show. Great show, as usual. Very funny stuff. I've been listening to episodes 60 through 62 last night while I was cleaning. And I gotta say, episode 60 was really, really hilarious. You guys were covering this Thanksgiving episode of Smallville, and at the end, Clark does this thing where he's like, my family, we wanted to see what we're thankful for, and I'm thankful for my parents, or something like that, and the music kicks in, and it's all corny, and then Jason's like, guys, I want to do this too. I'm so thankful for all you guys. And just the way you said it had me rolling. It was hilarious.
God, how long ago was that?
One, you had that crazy caller that kept crazy caller that said you guys were pretentious, and then like there was this really wacky caller that called in and was like trying to spell pretentious and couldn't, and was telling Steven to like. Like, I'm sick of hearing you breathing. Move the microphone away from your mouth. And told Vanessa he had a news flash. Sucks. Anyways, it was very, very funny. And then what was kind of cool is this week I was over at my buddy Ross's house, and he told me to borrow Hot Fuzz. And I said, well, what's weird about that, Ross? I just rented this thing from the library, and me and my wife are going to watch it Friday. And then Friday morning comes around. Put on episode 62 of Old School, and you guys are talking about how the movie's coming out and playing the trailer. And I was like, nice, this is awesome, this is great. So I was listening to it, and now I'm really excited to watch the movie because I watched like the first 10 minutes of it
somehow.
And got busy and couldn't watch it like a year ago or whenever it came out. So I thought that was kind of cool. But me and Ross, oh, and Ross is the monkey boy in the forums, by the way, the guy that when you guys were talking about Second Skin on the recent episode, he typed in, I'm the wizard master, and in my dreams, or whatever, and you guys were cracking up over it.
Awesome.
Anyway, so me and Ross were talking, we were at lunch the other day, and we said, man, the old school episodes, about episode 40, you guys really hit your stride, you're in a good groove, and it's just like listening to an episode now, but, you know, they're from a long time ago, so... And I just got to tell you guys, this is a great show. You guys got a great chemistry. I've never listened to a staff excuse me, I've never listened to a podcast where I clean the whole thing, all the past episodes and everything out. And I think I've listened to probably like 10 to 15 in the past couple months that I discovered the podcast. And then I've gone through and I'm all the way up to episode 62 of your old school episodes. That's cool. I've never done that. And I really enjoy the shows. And they're really great.
He gets a
NIM
medal.
I hope that
he sure does.
I don't know what to do if you guys ever stop doing the podcast. You guys can never, ever stop doing the podcast. So I just wanted to tell you guys that if you do that, that I'm going to be very upset with you. And I hope you don't. And I'm starting to sound like a maniac now, so I'm probably going to get going here. But, hey, have a good show tonight, and I'll be looking forward to it on Tuesday morning.
Ah, all right. Sunspots interrupting his phone call. Well, thanks so much, Adam. That's awesome. And I got to see pictures of your theater when you're done. Right, Bill?
Yeah, definitely.
Got to check that out.
I'm in the process of mine right now, too.
You know, I had to go back and listen to that episode to see what he was talking about the angry. You know, I remember, of course, I'm going to say it's our only angry. I don't even know if it's angry, more disinterested voicemail. Somebody who is never going to listen to our show again. But I'm going to play that in a second. But his buddy Ross also called in because they're listening to the shows at the same time, I guess. And I think it's hilarious. But let's check this out. And then I'm going to play that old voicemail. Just kind of, you know, it always cheers me up to hear someone who thinks we're pretentious. It's awesome.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Ross from Northern California. I actually got your phone number from my head. I actually remembered it. That's incredible.
Cool. Memory
I was just calling because I'm listening to all your old school episodes along with Adam, and I was listening to episode number 61 where some guy called in and he was talking about how you guys were like not funny and how the show sucked and everything like that, and you guys were pretentious. And I know I'm a little late, but that guy's an asshole. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So there, I hope you feel better. I know it's like 4 years late, but I'm an idiot. So
I knew one day somebody would stick up for
I've
us.
I've been listening to the old school episodes like nonstop for probably the past like a month or so or something like that, and it's pretty incredible to find something that I can listen to all day and not get bored with it. So you guys definitely have something good going on. I really disagree with your guys' take on Home Alone and how you think that sucked, but that's
okay.
No,
I'll get to that in a second because I didn't know what he was talking
and
about.
And also,
I had to go listen to that too.
You guys have to start watching Breaking Bad. It's like the best show I've ever seen. The best show ever created. I don't want to hype it up too much for you, but it really is the best thing ever
you
put down
hype
on
it.
Film or video. I'm not sure what they shoot it on. I think it's film. It's so good. I don't know
Hard
what
disc.
I have to tell you to convince you to start watching it, but it's on Emmys. I know that's a big deal. Huh? It's, you know,
yeah,
not every
Emmys.
Show wins Emmys. I know Joey was nominated, but that doesn't mean that he won. So there you go.
Joey's show.
I don't know what I have to do to get you guys to start watching this. If I need to get some sort of flesh-eating bacteria.
What?
And get
just
that,
get AMC to release it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's all we need.
That's all we need.
Watching this wonderful show, I will do that. I am that committed to it. It's just you guys watch a lot of stuff that I would say isn't necessarily the best stuff ever, you know.
How dare you, sir?
Like that superhero show several years ago.
Oh, but, come on!
That was like 3 years ago.
It's really good. So my plug for that show.
We listen to we watch a lot of good shows, Ross, yeah. But thanks for the voicemail.
We were fans of Stan Lee, but...
No, here's what it is. We
no,
balance
I
it.
Was a fan of Tavecculus.
By the source of light! No, but we watch a lot of great TV, but also you gotta have the bad to make fun of that shit.
Exactly,
that is
that's
gold.
The fun of it.
Like, we got a show
that's
later we're going to talk about that I would never have watched
the
show had it not. As soon as I saw the show that we're going to talk about later, I was like, this is gold. This is, you know, we're going to mine this shit for diamonds is what we're going to do.
It's quite possibly one of the worst shows I've ever seen. It actually inflicts physical pain
when
I watch it.
It's full of drops. It's full of bad entertainment. And one thing is what was happening, we were somehow talking about Home Alone. And I was talking about how I didn't think it was that funny or whatever. You know, like everyone, it was a big hit movie. And Bill, you were the right age when it came out. You really liked it when it came out because you were that right age. But I guess I was like cynical, like member of Generation X, like little kid going, or whatever.
Yeah, so, I totally. Yeah.
So it's funny that he's telling us stuff about like 3 years ago. We don't even remember.
I remember seeing that movie in the theater multiple times and just loving the shit out of it.
Yeah, I could see how now I could look back. I could probably watch it with Emma and laugh and go, I'm such a
I like
such
the slapsticky stuff of,
yeah.
of Joe Pesci and what's his name?
Yeah,
guy.
I mean, honestly,
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern, yeah.
It just here's you got to think back to that time. They were pushing the hell out of it. Commercials would come on where they go.
The commercials were so.
Do you remember
prevalent.
They would do the 12 Days of Christmas and they would have, you know, seven Joe Pesci's falling or psh, you know, yeah, it'd be like, yeah. Oh my God. Like I just friggin' turned on this movie like a pit bull. But here is the angry voicemail. Let's check it out. We got to revisit this. I love it.
I think I'm over your show. It's pretentious. It's
I remember this.
Critical, and worst of all, it's not funny anymore. So, there's feedback for you guys.
Wow. Oh,
that was the Joho, right?
Well, that's what we always thought. It was hard to tell if it was the same guy or not, but then we followed it up with another voicemail that was a spoof of that guy, basically saying how, hey, Vanessa, here's a news flash. You suck.
And, well, that was actually true.
Oh, Bill, she's not here to defend herself.
My favorite was when she read the news and sent it in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The sexy voice.
And that's when we were ragging her, like, what is with your voice? She goes, that's how I always sound. It's like, no, you don't. It was like, what are you living in a different world? You do not sound
she
like that.
She was Robin Quivers there for a while.
And then she said, well, it's my reading voice when I'm reading from paper. And then Adam, a couple episodes ago, listened to that, and he goes, doesn't she read the news every episode? He's got a point there. Now, we got another voicemail from Elio. Let's check it out. A new voicemail from someone we've never heard from before. I'm very excited to play this.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, yeah. This is Winnie Bombats, okay?
Oh,
I gotta
I got
tell you guys something. You got a good show, you know, and I like it, and it's funny. You guys make me laugh. But you gotta lay off the Italian stuff. Because you know what? Me, personally, I take personal offense to that, you know? I listen to the show, and you go off in the Cake Boss thing, and then you play it over and over again, those little clips during the show. Oh, it breaks my balls that when I hear that. You know, I want to listen to the show, but you guys got to lay off. Or else I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to baseball bat you two guys over there. The three guys. One, there's the guy there, and the guy that snores when he breathes. Hey, the J guy, that always, life's good, good life, yeah, yeah. And then there's that Bill guy. So there's three of you. So I'm going to baseball bat the three of you. You hear what I'm saying? Lay off the time stuff. All right. All kidding aside, guys, my name is Elio. And I'm just loving the show. And just want to pull your leg there a little bit. Keep up the good work. And
I was worried for a second.
Try talking the rest ties. To me at one point. It'd be really, really good. All right? Bye-bye, guys.
Wait, what did he say? I didn't hear that.
He said, talk about the Rescue Me. And you know what? Rescue Me just this week had their season finale, and it was an incredible season finale. Like the final, like 15 minutes, it was like sweating in my armpits, kind of like tense.
Wow!
And it ended on a big, huge cliffhanger, and I was like, "What the hell? Like, what the hell's going to happen? I have no idea what's going to happen on the next season, but it's pretty insane." And you know, there's a lot of shows that I watch that we don't really get time or. Make time to talk about.
The show would be 4 hours long if we talked about everything we watched.
And Rescue Me is one of them that I watch every week, and I enjoy the show. And just so you know that I am a big fan of that, much like Mad Men, Bill, you recently caught up to it, and I caught up to Mad Men, finally.
Man.
It's an incredible show.
I watched 26 episodes in 36 hours. I couldn't stop.
It's such an awesome show. And you know, a depression sets in when you realize you've caught up and you don't have a stack of episodes you can watch anytime you want anymore.
It's funny. I'm just so anal that I love watching them in bursts
right.
that I'm waiting to watch the season 3 episodes. I'm not downloading anything.
No, you're waiting to pay for them.
All right. Yes.
You know, I actually bought the season premiere of season 3 on the PlayStation Store in HD. Mm-hmm. It was $2.99 plus tax. But I was like, if I buy the whole season, this will be like over $35. You know what? I should just watch it on standard def or just get it on Blu-ray, because $35, you might as well buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out.
DirecTV, yeah. Just keep, they're dragging their ass on the AMC HD.
Nuts. And that's the same thing.
Of all channels, come
on.
We're
talking about Breaking Bad. It comes on AMC, too. Please, DirecTV, get it in
HD. And what about The Prisoner coming up? We've got to have AMC
HD
for The
Prisoner. You know, you may think, yeah, I might break down and watch it in standard def. But recently, Netflix accidentally sent me the disc one on standard def of Mad Men Season 2 when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. And the difference was so night and day that I don't want to watch Breaking Bad in standard def. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, Elio, thank you so much. We will no longer make fun of Italian Americans. I'm sorry.
You got to do this cake, or you put me in the best situation.
Oh, yeah.
I can, because I'm quarter Italian.
Oh, see? Then it's okay. Elio, you put us in a bad situation over here. Now, we got another voicemail. This is one.
Jeff and Shinebox.
This one is The Mystery Man. Let's see how crappy this sounds. Let's check it out.
Greetings, virtual radio personality.
Pretty crappy.
Huh? Just wanted to say, I just listened back to back to Dark Tower Gunslinger.
Oh, cool.
Book review podcast and follow up one, which I don't even remember what it's called, Sign of Three or something.
The Drawing of the Three?
I tried picking up the Dark Tower like two or three times. I don't know what it is about that book. It just makes my eyes play so. But now that I've listened to your show, I'm probably going to go back and revisit it. Maybe with an audio book this time. Because I commute a lot. So, anyway, thanks
for the
show.
Has he read the book?
I think the book club is an excellent idea. I hope you break out of the Stephen King mode at some point and consider reviewing something else. If you take suggestions, let me know. With that, I'll just have to say, I ain't no bitch. Thanks.
That remains to be seen, but just go ahead and send us.
You should have said, I'm not no bitch.
I ain't no bitch. Yeah, go ahead and send us a suggestion, Mystery Man. It sounds like, I don't know if you do or not, but some people do have a problem with Stephen King.
I don't understand that. Like, one of my sister's boyfriends, like, he's a journalist and he thinks he's hot shit. But he's like, man, Stephen King's an amateur. And I was like, what?
That doesn't make any sense.
Do you know
what
the definition of amateur is?
I'm going to say he's prolific.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, there's some people who think he's not as good now since he got hit by a van or whatever. But
the fact that he's still writing after being hit by a van,
there's some
makes
people
it okay
that think
my book.
All he's done is horror. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
but I think honestly, he's an incredible writer. Maybe you won't like a horror book, but he, you know, come on, Stand By Me. Have you ever seen that? The Body. That's an incredible story. Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. I would say more of his stories
the
are
Green
more
Mile.
Sci-fi. Yeah, more
yep.
sci-fi.
The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, which was an excellent book.
There's so much that he's done that's not really horror, but may have something that's disturbing.
Supernatural.
Yeah, or supernatural.
Yeah.
He's had a career for a long time and written all sorts of things, but maybe a lot of people think Cujo, Christine, Carrie. I don't know, but
Pet Sematary.
I mean, come on, even The Stand. Would you call
Dolores
it horror?
Dolores Claiborne.
Would you call it more sci-fi?
The Stand
kind of
is
post-apocalyptic.
I'd say yeah.
Fantastic fantasy, maybe. But you know, I don't know what the deal is, but I know that some people do have a problem with Stephen King. But I gotta say that I'm so into Stephen King right now. It's hard to imagine, you know, as I said before, right now, getting into other stuff. But the next series we have in mind isn't Stephen King, and it's nothing like that. So maybe people will be into it. I don't know. But we have more voicemail. Let's get this show on the road. We got one from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hey there, Mulberry. My name is Sean. This is my first time calling in. I've been listening to you guys for a few months now, and I just wanted to tell you that I really love your show. I think you guys do a great job, and you give me hours and hours of entertainment with Mulberry Old School and your new episodes when I'm at work in front of my computer. And you just helped me get through the day.
Fest,
it's a lot.
It?
It's a lot of fun.
I know.
To
it's a mutual
guys.
Admiration
and,
society.
I just
we
wanted
love
to call
you too.
And wish you guys a happy 4th birthday. I saw on Jason's Facebook that you guys that Friday today, whenever you guys do your show, is going to be your 4th birthday. So I just wanted to say congrats on that. That's great. It's a big milestone, and I hope you guys keep doing it for a lot longer, so all of us can enjoy it. Because I'm listening to your old school episodes, and because you guys love Arnold references. A couple weeks ago, I went to a wrestling event with a friend of mine, like a WWE event. I know how much you guys love wrestling, but anyway, while I was there, they showed
Tori Wilson
some
fan,
really
right,
huge,
Will?
Big celebrities in
oh,
the
yeah.
crowd on the jumbo screen, and one of them was Dylan McKay himself. That's right, Luke Perry was there.
Awesome.
That was awesome. But even
oh,
more
nice.
Exciting than that was
Puke
they showed
I mean, Luke Perry.
Mr. Mimetic Poly Alloy. The T-1000, that's right, Mr. Robert Patrick. They showed him on the
What's
screen.
What's he doing in a
and
wrestling match?
Just to give you a hint of how much I listen to you guys' show, right when they showed him on screen, I turned to my friend next to me, and I just yelled at him, "Knives and stabbing weapons!" And he just kind of looked at me like I was nuts. But it's okay, because I know
doing,
you guys
man?
Have gotten the reference, so it's all good. I'll be looking forward to lots more episodes in the future. And yeah, so take care. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Sean. That's very cool of you. And you must pass on the knives and stabbing weapons.
That reference always works.
Yeah, it's funny. You
oh, man, I will never forget the night that after the show they put this like Art Bell Coast to Coast AM wannabe on after us on Talk Radio X, this Kevin Smith guy.
Right.
And we're calling in about that. And then there was that Toby guy who was talking about 9/11 and
oh yeah,
he said that the metal melted, and I called in and asked if it was melted enough to make knives and stabbing weapons. And
you know,
even Vanessa called in. That was hilarious that
yeah,
night.
But you know, Andy had the best one. He called in, and it's actually on one of the intros, old show intros of ours. I don't even remember when it was. It was somewhere in the early hundreds. Where he's going, knives and stabbing weapons. And he's like, hello? He's like, knives and stabbing weapons. And he
yeah.
keeps saying, knives and stabbing weapons. And he's like, okay, man. And he just hangs up. It's just kind of ridiculous. But that's
well, I like
awesome.
The one dude who was getting into the conversation with that guy, but kept subtly putting in.
Yeah, it became a game where you string the guy on the radio show along.
Well, he's like, do you think that they use knives and stabbing weapons?
That was me.
Was that you, Bill?
Yeah, that was me whenever I called. Yeah.
I remember Bill did a really good job.
I didn't want to just do it flat out like goofy. I wanted to try to act like I was an actual interested caller.
I just remember Vanessa saying, do you think they use knives and stabbing weapons? And Toby's like, that's not funny. And she was like, oh, sorry. like, oh, my God. Does he know my phone number? He's going
to
call me.
Like,
I need to find clips of that.
He's like, do you know what box cutters are? Are box cutters considered knives and stabbing weapons?
Yeah.
Now, guys, I saved the best for last. We got a Rick voicemail. Rick reviewing Bad Ronald. Let's check it out.
Oh, no.
Hey, Nora Mulberry. I'll try and keep this short and sweet for you. I found out James Cameron is filming Sanctum in Australia, 10 minutes down the road from my place. So, guess
what?
What
is that?
I'm going to go be an extra in it.
Sweet.
Nah, probably not. I'm too lazy. I probably will just think about doing it. But still, it's pretty
I
good thinking
you,
about it. Sorry about my long voicemail last week. I was very drunk while watching the movie. And I was going to explain to you, yeah, I'm watching it. As I go along, I'm going to pause and say what I think. But I was so drunk by the end, I forgot to do that. And usually I edit them down myself. But I was drunk, so I was like, that's it, I'm done. Send. I'm going to sleep. But I'm not drunk this week, so it won't be like that. And here is my review of Bad Ronald. What can I say about Ronald?
You're weird, Ronald.
I am not weird.
Yes, you are. And so is your mother.
I loved that part when he accidentally killed the little girl. What an idiot. Why not just walk away and they'll think she fell off a bike and cracked her head open? Easiest way to get out of it. And when he killed her, I thought, that's a bit harsh. He just called you and your mum some names. You didn't have to shake her. Give her a break. She's a little kid, mate.
You're a weird, Ronald. So is your mother.
I'm going to kill you for that. That's a bit harsh, Ronald. Also cracked me up. He was always nibbling on his food like a rat. I don't know if that's what the director told him to do or if that's how he usually eats. But every time he was eating something, he was just nibbling on it like a little rat in the corner of his mouth.
He's always eating like chocolate bites, bars and stuff.
Delicious. But I suppose it was trying to signify that he was a rat person. Could have done it without making him chew on his food like a rat. Was stupid. I loved it how the girl's boyfriend was eating dinner with the family. And he's like, oh, I never thought I'd be eating here. And they're like, oh, why'd you say that? Oh, the guy that used to live here, he murdered my sister. Everybody's still hungry? No. I don't think so. It cracked me up. the guy that used to live here, he murdered my sister. Well, it's for dessert. It's not like he even shed a tear or looked sad at all. It was very bizarre.
Oh, he's just over it by then.
And
you know?
Just when I thought it was getting to the exciting parts, you know, oh, Ronald's escaping and he's going to wreak some havoc or whatever. He gets out, cops grab him, the end. Okay, that wrapped up fast. I thought he was going to kill a few more people, but whatever. And I loved it how nobody noticed all the holes that he drilled all over the place. Hey, what's this hole doing in the wall? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Just leave it there. No one noticed it. I'm just saying. And some parts were a bit creepy. I thought him and his mum were going to make out. I don't know why. Just got that vibe.
Yeah, I did. He's a bit of a mama's boy, wasn't he?
Mother and son relationship. It's just a bit odd. That's all I'm saying. Rewatch it. It's there.
It's there.
I don't think this movie was that good. I can see why you thought it was a classic, though, because it's pretty crap. And kind of crap and classic go hand in hand sometimes.
Classic piece of crap.
So I give this movie 1 star. If you don't like old movies that are crappy, I give it 5 stars. If you're drunk and you like watching silly movies about people who die really easily and also people who make really bad decisions in life in general.
He did make a lot of
poor okay, this is what I was taught in the Mormon church. I might have forgotten some of it, but I'm pretty sure this is how it goes. Cain and Abel, who are Adam and Eve's children. Cain killed Abel. Cain got the curse of dark skin. And so would his children and children's children. And they would be cursed for eternity. That's why they could always be Mormons, but they couldn't have the special magical powers that the Mormons have, which is no great loss because it's a pile of crap. Then in 1970, apparently they had paid for their sins enough, and now they could be treated like human beings again. So that's pretty much it. Now they're all treated like regular people, which is good because they are. So that's kind of it, I think. Might have missed some points, but it doesn't really matter. The Mormons are weird. But the reason I was Mormon for so long, because I always was safe in the knowledge that the Scientologists were even weirder. They're batshit insane. But so are Mormons, so whatever. And I wanted to let you know as well that I am still enjoying the shows. I haven't said it for a while, but I just want you to know you're doing a really good job, really funny, entertaining. So keep doing it. If you haven't got some good feedback, you're doing good. I listened to an old episode and there was this part where Jason was doing a mock interview with KFED. You know, getting funny answers and asking funny questions and using out-of-context answers to make it funny. And it cracked me up. I want to hear more of that, Jason. Do some mock interviews. Crack me up. I loved it. This
That's
was Rick.
Challenge. The gauntlet's
Rick
been
from
laid
Australia.
Down.
I am not weird.
Yes, you are. Who's your mother?
Gotta love Bad Ronald. Thanks, Rick. Great review. And thank you for telling us about Mormonism and that stuff. It's very strange. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know when that K-Fed thing was. I wish they should tell
me. I remember it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I remember it, but I don't remember when it was. Like 2 years
after
ago?
After they broke up?
No, it was when they were still together.
Were they doing the...
it was when he was doing...
The Chaotic World Tour?
Yeah, he was starting to rap and kind of tour, so they were interviewing...
Popo Sal!
Yeah.
That's right.
The guy was a genius, but... yeah. Thanks, Rick, for that, and Bill will pick a new movie for you to watch. But let's get into entertainment! And thanks, everybody, for all the voicemail. It's awesome. We've never had that much voicemail before. Ooh,
yeah, I know. It almost took up the entire hour.
Entertainment! Now, we won't stay long on the movies today because, you know, we took so much time with voicemail, but... I did see Inglourious Basterds while my wife was off work and we had some free time. I got lots of free time there. And we saw Inglourious Basterds. I think it was like Emma's first day at school. She started school.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you took Emma for a...
yeah. We're going to see Inglourious Basterds.
First R-rated film.
First R-rated.
You know what was crazy is like we had to time it just right. And I was like, nowhere is the movie going to start early enough for us to get out in time to pick her up from school. But at the mall, it started at 11:30. So we got out like literally like 20 minutes before she got out of school. That's how long the movie is. So
that's the best thing about... mall theaters is the morning showings.
Yeah, and it was kind of...
there's no one ever there.
It's kind of strange seeing a movie that early for me. It really is, because I got to, like, you know, do my morning routine and stuff, but I didn't have time. But I really enjoyed Inglourious Basterds. It's an awesome movie, and I hope you guys check it out. And, you know, I'll say more about it later when it comes out on, you know, Blu-ray. I'm sure you guys will see it.
Anybody in the chat room, just... ignore Lucky Kevin's post because he just spoiled the ending for anybody.
For Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoops, sorry about that.
But it's an awesome movie. You guys check it out. Now, Gamer also came out today and not getting too good of reviews. I got to say, my first reaction from seeing the commercials is it looks retarded. I'm just going to say that. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is Dexter doing in that, by the way?
Well, what's Dexter doing in it with a really horrible Southern accent?
All I know is Ludacrisp is in it. So, yeah,
Ludacrisp?
Yeah, not to be confused with Sugar Crisp. But one thing.
Or Golden Crisp.
You know, Extract, Mike Judge's new film came out, and I've seen it's gotten decent reviews or whatever, but I've seen a couple of trailers for it. I gotta say, it doesn't look really funny to me, but they're not showing me enough, I don't know. But
right, I mean, I'll give it a chance because I love Mike Judge movies.
Yeah,
I thought
I do too.
Office Space was great. I loved...
I still haven't seen Idiocracy.
Idiocracy is classic. And, yeah, you know... I'm not a big Jason Bateman fan. I think he, you know, should have kind of gave up after Teen Wolf 2, but...
Oh, that's a classic.
He's still hanging around.
In the right role, he's really good, I think. But
he was good in Arrested Development.
Yeah, and I think he's great in The Kingdom. I thought he was...
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about him in The Kingdom.
I think if he's used the right way, he's really good. But
and I'm interested to see what his role is like in... the upcoming Simon Pegg and Nick Frost movie, Paul.
He's got a certain way about him that he can be very funny. But Extract, I just, you know, it's probably a funny movie. What I'm saying is maybe the trailer, they didn't cut it very well. I mean, there's a couple of laughs, but what the hell is this movie about?
Right, that's
the
whole thing is that,
yeah, it's about, he owns a vanilla extract company. And
yeah, see,
there's
I didn't get that from the freaking...
It blows off the balls of one of the guys working there.
Yeah, okay, I got
and
that.
He kind of just goes, you know, he has really bad day, I think. It's like one of those kind of high anxiety type
I'm
movies.
I'm sure I'm going to like it, so I shouldn't have any trepidations there. But another movie that came out is All About Steve. Steve, you might want to see
about
it.
Me.
Steven. I never call you Steve, so this was kind of weird. But
is that the Sandra Bullock one?
Yes. Yeah. And I kind of looked, I was like, bad. Rotten Tomatoes, you know, I'm just like, I wonder what the reviews are. Usually you see it's about, you know, 60-40, something like that, but it was like 62% rotten, 2% fresh. Wow, that's bad! Holy shit!
Oh, hey.
Yikes.
That's not good, and I gotta say, it looks atrocious. It
doesn't
look
good. Oh, now it's 6% rotten, yeah.
Oh, okay. 6%?
63 rotten reviews, 4 fresh.
Wow. I'm going to say...
What I love is that it says from the producer of Miss Congeniality, and it's like, oh, shit. Honey,
I love Miss Congeniality. Shit.
And the producer did a great job producing that.
Starring the wife of Jesse James. That's what it should say. Like, I love Jesse James. That show's awesome. I'm going to see this movie.
Commercial is... Starring The Hangovers, Bradley Cooper. Yeah. No, that's Alias's Bradley Cooper.
Well, what's funny is, like, it's starring the guy in that other movie you really liked. You're going to hate this one, but we're trying to get you in the theater. Come on in. It's like, nah.
He did good in that one. He might be good in this one.
He just might. He may not.
Starring people you've seen in other comedies.
Yeah. So don't be fooled, people. All About Steve, watch it on HBO about 4 months from now, okay? Let's go ahead and check out what is on our TiVos. Let's do it! Oh, and before I get into our first show, I got to mention this, Bill. I was reading on one of the satellite-type forums of DirecTV that the DVRs we have, they're implementing dual tuners, finally, where you can switch between tuners. That's going out in an update. Should happen sometime this month. How cool is that?
Nice.
Because, you know, the only way to do that now is you got to record on one channel, record on the other, and then you can switch back and forth. But on TiVo, all you got to do is hit down and you flip to the other tuner. You could leave it on one football game, switch to the other football game or something like that. But now, DirecTV is
freaking time.
Finally doing it. I can't wait. I'm just excited because I like to watch. I really do like to do that. Like, I like to watch.
Yeah, I'm a flipper. I'm a chronic flipper to the point where it annoys everyone around me.
Or, you know, my daughter's watching SpongeBob. I got to check something. Don't worry. I'll switch it back, okay? So, okay, the first thing I want to get into is a Conan this week had Norm MacDonald, which is always gold, right? Norm MacDonald is crazy.
Yes.
A lot of his jokes are very hit and miss, but it's still funny because it's so awkward. You know, like he'll say a joke that's just so unfunny. But what was funny is his segment was over, and Thomas Hayden Church was there, and he was plugging All About Steve, which we've already determined is a shitty movie just based on reviews. And he's... Thomas Hayden Church, I don't know what he's doing here, but he wants to show pictures of his ranch like a slideshow, and it's supposed to be funny. Who do you think keeps interrupting when he's trying to do his bit?
Didn't he do that with...
He's done that.
Courtney?
Yeah, that one famous Conan. That's what he does. He interrupts.
Box office poison.
What Thomas Hayden Church is... where he made a mistake is he kind of said, "Hey, Norm," and he kind of joked with him. He should have just sat down and not even acknowledge him because
if
then...
If he just would have ignored Norm, Norm would have, you know, ignored him.
Just listen. Whenever Norm says something, Thomas Hayden Church kind of pauses for a second, like, kind of like, "Oh, dude, let's check this out."
But he just comes off as such a douchebag.
Let's check this out.
This gentleman has a 2,000-acre ranch in Texas. Thanks for coming in. And you've talked with me about this ranch before.
Many, many times, but this is a particularly special occasion because I've prepared a little photo journal of the Jake Short Ranch in Bandera County, Texas.
So, you took photos?
I did. It's a little bit of a travelogue or a ranch log. Okay, there's the gate.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The Jake Short Ranch established 1905.
Awesome.
Good, sturdy pipe construction. That's a windmill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It does not, in fact, pump water, but it's pretty. Mm-hmm. I think everybody can enjoy, again, sturdy steel structure. That's...
Do you ever tilt at it?
What? Tilt at the windmill?
Yeah, I thought that's what you did to them. Wait, do you know Robert Duvall?
What is he talking about?
Norm.
Do you know
Norm, you're killing my flow here.
No, I'm sorry.
You're killing my flow, bro.
In fairness, Thomas, you did address him when you came out.
I know, I did. It's like looking at a condor during mating season. You know, they'll attack or they'll fly away. No, I'm teasing you.
No, no.
Okay, so, okay, here's a windmill.
Wait, you're
Your two options were attack and fly away.
I love you. Let's bump the pit bull.
Not salad tossing.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we're not getting to your movie clip, Thomas. You know that, don't you?
Okay, here's a cow, once again. Okay, and like all ranchers, you know, I have cats and dogs. And this is a pet deer, Sissy, who is being fed a Fig Newton. She enjoys those.
What is the point of this?
Enjoying an entire bucket full of Fig Newtons. See how distended her belly is right there?
Sure.
And we often get many exotic guests at the Jake Shore Ranch. So here we go with the next image. If you recognize the very muscular arm, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger feeding Sissy a fistful of Fig Newtons. Mm-hmm. Here, how's this Fig Newton?
Wait, was Jake Short the character in Open Range?
Norm. When's the Prozac going to kick in?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just like your career.
I love you. I love you. No, I wasn't in Open Range.
Oh, you weren't? I'm sorry.
No, Broken Trail.
Oh, Where are we, Jeff, on time?
Broken Trail?
Okay.
What's that?
Oh, wait, but let me finish real quick.
There's such a good bit.
Extra baby goat?
No. I just got that off the internet because I wanted to get that aww moment from the audience again. So that was two. Uh-huh. And, you know.
Wow, what a train wreck.
Holy crap. If I was watching that, I would have fallen asleep.
Say Norm wasn't there and he did that bit, still would have been unsuccessful, I think.
Oh, totally. It's such a waste of time.
Oh.
Steel construction. Who cares?
What's with the Arnold? I don't understand what Thomas Hayden Church is doing.
Well, you got the tilting at windmills, right?
You know what it is? Ever since. what is the tilting
Explain
at windmills?
Explain that, Stephen.
It was a.
Don Quixote?
Don Quixote reference.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Sure. But it's funny that he would say that and just kind of like.
I was trying to.
Like record scratch for Thomas Hayden, like freeze him, like Norm. What are you doing? You know,
when's the Prozac going to kick in?
But it's just
I love that he said you're interrupting my flow.
Yes,
non-existent
flow. Dude, he had no flow.
You interrupted my picture of a deer eating a Fig Newton.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hilarious. I like that.
You're gonna F me, man. Now, guys. The real world. We know the real world is just garbage, right? Everyone in the, it's usually a house filled with douchebags. Sometimes it'll have chicks who make out with each other. It's like, okay. Sometimes it's got roid rage drunk guys who smash shit.
A couple of gay guys.
Well, this time they got kind of a geeky guy who's into zombies. He's got a zombie magazine, Steven. I think Zombie Weekly or something is what it's called.
Okay. I had no idea there actually was one.
Right, Zombie Gazette, something like that. Now, one of the bitches in the house, she decides to mess with his stuff. She's like, tears up his zombie magazine.
He's
kind of upset. He's thinking, I'll just let it go. It's just a zombie magazine. But then he starts to think, isn't that what they did with Hitler? We'll just let Hitler have his way and just, whatever.
Wait, what?
Exactly. He's not going to let them have their way, just like the Allies put up with Hitler. He's not going to do that. Let's check this out. It's awesome.
My bag's been opened and gone through. Someone went through my stuff and destroyed it.
I tap danced.
She tap danced all over your It was pretty funny.
I'm sorry. I felt like Shirley Temple and your magazine was the stage. I tap danced. I didn't rip.
It's a magazine.
I tore it up with my feet.
I'm not going to blow up over a magazine. This reminds me of 1938, when the Allies decided to appease Hitler. Well, I'm not going to appease Hitler, so I'm going to go back in there. Emily.
Oh, God. Didn't Ronnie just yell at me? Is it really necessary for him to come back and yell again?
In World War II, the reason Hitler was able to, like, advance so far and take so much ground and, like, have such a head start is because the Allies had this policy of appeasement, right? The idea was, let him have this and he'll be done.
This dude is comparing me to Hitler really because I stepped on his zombie magazine.
Eventually, next thing he invades Poland, Mussolini, his ally in Italy, is conquering everything, running the whole show. And it was a really bad idea just to appease your enemies like that. So before I get out of here, I need to tell the both of you guys to you and you. You two are two of the most materialistic, selfish, self-pitying boys I've ever met in my entire life. Emily, go out with me inside attack and take some Adderall. I hear, once you get another tattoo for attention and cut yourself if that doesn't work. You. I hate the both of you. I never liked you.
Wow. Way to go.
I didn't understand. All I heard was Hitler and allies and posse and
they should really, those bitches should respect zombie magazines is what the moral of the story is.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's funny that
like giving us a lesson on World War II there.
Yeah. He's like, wait,
you know why
I'm not going to appease them just like they did Hitler. Wow. And the girl was so bitchy about it. And she did that thing. And this is the worst. When you're trying to be serious and you're angry at somebody and they're just laughing at you. Like,
they're giggling. Yeah, I heard her giggling.
You're so stupid. What he should have done, rolled up that magazine, the zombie magazine, start smacking her on the ass with it. That's what I would have done.
That would have been hot.
Now, guys, star of All About Steve, Sandra Bullock, was on Conan this week. And
oh, another gold.
But Conan, yeah. Conan knows the movie sucks, so he brings up Jesse James, right? And I think it's funny she has a sense of humor about this. So basically she's saying that most of the time guys, they're not interested in her at all. They're like, where's Jesse at? They want to like talk about Jesse James. Let's check this out.
Her husband is, I will say, he is a manly man.
He is.
This man.
Yes.
I would think this is a guy
that,
here's the difference. A lot of women love that man. A lot of guys give it up for your husband.
A lot of,
we
I
all
guess
give
it's called
it up
man
for Jesse,
crush or dude crush. Yeah, a lot of these, you know, a lot of...
It's called being gay.
Is it? Yeah.
Word for it.
Okay,
no,
so
but no,
now
they're...
you've outed my husband. I have to tell you guys something. Yeah. I'm the beard. but then it's a little, you know, disheartening. Yeah, like I go to set and I want to be like the big, you know, the actress. I'm the lead. I'm here, and every single man is like, "That's cool." So where's Jesse, man?
Jesse here.
I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is sort of like that they don't care about me. They want to go straight to Jesse, and you know what? I don't blame them.
Yeah, Jesse's so cool, man. Because you know, he risks his life all the time to deliver pizza in the desert. Etc. etc. etc.
Plus, she doesn't look like she did when she shot Speed. So let's just move on.
Well, no, really?
Like she did in Speed, I'd pay attention to her. But now it's just sad.
I wasn't really paying that much attention.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. Can't wait till the new season of your show is back. Now, Bill, before we take a break, I just got to get to this before we take a break, and that is a show called Tool Academy. This is season 2 on VH1. Now, what this show is it's basically about douchebags, right?
Yeah.
It's about girls.
Girlfriend is the boyfriend has the biggest
girlfriends who are so sick of their douchebag boyfriends treating them like shit, acting like douchebags. They've got piercing and tats here. They're always ripping their shirts off. They're hitting on every girl that's there.
They decide to put them on television instead of break up with them.
Right. And here's what they trick the guys into showing up by saying they want to be this representative from a girl energy drink called Her.
It's called Her, but they're going to be the International Party King.
Yeah, they're competing. The International Party King. So they're all acting crazy, ripping their shirts off. They got girls in bikinis there, and they're all, like, hanging all over them, acting like complete douchebags.
One guy's taking off all his clothes, rubbing his pecker on
There's a guy who just gets naked, and he's jumping up and down, like, bouncing his thing, flapping in the wind. Everyone's like, oh, my God. Meanwhile, behind a two-way mirror are all the girlfriends watching them. And they're all like, oh my God, that's my boyfriend, like hiding
their
faces.
They're starting to cry.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's such a douche. There's one guy, he's like, oh, like trying to kiss another girl. And it's like, he tried to kiss her. And, you know, just the guys are complete douches. Now, the best part is when they're like, okay, guys, you could do this, but actually, joke's on you because this isn't what you think it is. It's Tool Academy! And the signs explode. And it was so funny. They show the guys all, like, jump like little weenies. They're like, oh! You know, like an explosion. And it says Tool Academy. And this is their reaction. It's awesome. Let's check it out.
Oh,
signed and quoted.
Tool Academy.
Look at me. No.
Gentlemen.
Were they entered?
Oh
my gosh.
Welcome to the Tool Academy.
Oh, hell no.
So there's no international party, King?
Jordan came out and boom. All of a sudden we see signs that say Tool Academy, and you know, anybody who's seen the first season knew, like, they're like, I'm on the second semester of Tool Academy.
We are all
that's one
and these are the women who enrolled you. They've been watching you the whole time.
The looks on the girls' faces, like all of them, dude, they were ready to just rip our heads off, dude.
Dude.
Leo was pissed off to the highest pistivity, bro.
Big John left, dude. Big John left. How do you just spell that right now?
Oh, this one big muscle bound guy goes went to the hotel smashing shit.
Hulk smash!
And from what I hear, he was flipping over, mad, throwing.
Hey, you know what's funny is later on he's like, all right, man, I calmed down. I took a tampon. I'm good. And it's like, dude, yeah. You can't even not be a douchebag. Like,
yeah,
everything
even in his explanations that he calmed down, he has to degrade women.
And he's like, I slipped myself a tampon. I'm all better now.
I took
now.
Some Lidol.
Yo, man. So they sit
I'm
down.
So, I'm so funny and meat-headed.
You know what's funny? When it opens up, the beginning of the show shows the men, like, all acting, woo! And it shows the women coming up at Escaro. They're all, like, angry, pissed-off faces because they're so sick of these guys. So they have this nice little session. There's one guy who's the host. He's like the MC of the show. But there's this...
He's King Douche.
English therapist woman who wants to help them in their relationships. And her voice is just ridiculous because...
Oh, and the like, voiceovers is she's like watching footage in this study room.
Yeah, she's got her study.
Notes down.
And they have to wear like school uniforms or something because they're in the Tool Academy. But the best part is... revealing videos that they did of the guys when they thought they wanted to be Mr. What was it? Mr. Fantastic?
Mr. International Party King.
Right. So they're that's like, how are you with the ladies? Oh, man, I'm hitting that left and right. I got a bitch at home. I don't even have sex with her because I'm busy squeezing boobies everywhere I go. And she's like,
crying and... admitting that he's like, I got this last girl I slept with. She's 19.
Yo, man, she's 19. I be hitting that, breaking a piece off left and right. Oh, crying. And so there's another guy. It's like, I just hit that bitch at home when I'm horny, but I could get shit everywhere. She's like, you're just all these women crying because the guys are total douches. But this one guy's like, call me J Daddy. Yo, man, I'm J Daddy. And he's got like two piercings.
He's from Strong Island.
In his face. And. Yeah, he's from Strong Island. And his girlfriend's like, who the hell is this J-Daddy? What the hell is this crap? And he's like, that bitch, she ain't nothing no more without me, yo. And she's like, oh. And even doesn't she hit him? Like she's like,
yeah, she does.
Left and right, some of the girls, you can see them, they're like, bam. They like, punch him. And he's like, oh. But they're all like talking about like, I don't know how they got these answers out of him. It's just like, well, do you have a girlfriend at home? He's like, nah, shit, man, I'd dump her ass anytime.
You know how they got the answers. They put a camera on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing, here's the thing. Some of these guys admitted to being, to cheating on them, basically. And she's like, now, to be on Tool Academy, you try to work on your relationship and you get back together. And those who aren't trying so hard, they get kicked off every week. So it's like, why do you want to be with a guy who's admitted just now?
Exactly. The moment
like
they watched those videos, they should have walked out, showed over.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense except, like, well, I got to stay on TV and I'm getting paid to be here. And the first thing they did was do this. They do these exercises where you have to work as a couple to build strength. So they're all sitting in boats and they have to pull corks out of them. So it starts to
yeah,
sink.
Yeah, there's like, what, like eight plugs or six plugs in the
yeah.
boat.
And whoever stays afloat the longest.
Yeah.
And this one dude, I think his name is, they call him Big John, the guy who smashed shit. He gets
yeah,
eliminated. He's like, oh, man, this would be funny. He goes over to another couple and he's like, oh, and that knocks him in the water, like to disqualify him. The dude's like, what
like,
the hell?
He can't even be a normal person and just be like, oh, I lost. He's got to pull somebody down with him.
Right.
It's like, hey, man, I was just horsing around. I was just joking.
Oh my god, that guy's insane.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
Exactly.
That super soldier serum wasn't quite right.
So basically what it is they can't call the show Douche Academy, so they call it Tool Academy, right? So one guy gets eliminated on this first episode.
And this is the guy who, in that boat contest that they're doing, the girl's like, use the bucket, it's quicker, and he's using his hand like he's slapping the water out of the boat.
He's not listening. He's like, shut up, stop talking, you know, just getting frustrated with her. So they eliminate him, and he's, you know how all these shows, Apprentice, whatever, Hell's Kitchen, they want you to do a walk of shame and get in the limo and then do a closing interview. He's like, no, man, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not doing your little shit. I'm not going to your limo. I'm just going to go get my shit and leave. And they're like, no, you can't do that. That's not how it works. He's like, no, I'm not going to. Well, then you got to leave. He's like, well, I'm going to get my stuff. He's like, no, that's not how it works. You get your stuff later. Just get out of here. And he's like, no. So they get the security guy and all the shit. Just listen to this. I was like, what the hell is going on the show? The guy won't leave. And by the way, he's embarrassing the hell out of his poor girlfriend. She's like, what's going on over there? And the other girls are going, I feel so sorry for her. He's such a tool. Guy's such a douchebag. Let's check this out.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
Yeah, whatever. You. Josh gets eliminated, and he's thorned
out.
That
host really enjoys this.
I'm not looking like a dumbass and going out there first.
If he's claiming he's not the biggest tool and he shouldn't be eliminated, then he straight up wouldn't have acted like he did.
Straight up,
that's just
Steven.
Acting like
straight
a tool.
Up, yo.
I'm not doing what you want me to do. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It's over now. Just walk to the car.
Josh got eliminated. He stormed out. Very unhappy with the situation. You got bounced. Get the f*** out of here. It's over.
The host comes down.
I'm not going to be the first one to go home.
If you're trespassing.
If you bring me my stuff, I'll go up.
No, it doesn't work that way.
If you give me my stuff, I'll go up.
Are you leaving? If I ask you one more time, I will physically take you out the front door. Can you maybe do it?
There's big old black guy
this
picks him up.
Let's go, man. Let's go. No.
Josh.
Listen. You've been expelled.
You're a tool. You've been expelled. Exit. Get the f*** out of here right now.
You've been expelled. You are a tool. Leave.
Get the f*** out.
Hey, babe. Are you okay? No, wait. What are you doing?
You got expelled and didn't want to leave.
Just walk away.
What are you doing?
Just walk away.
Wow.
And it's so funny because he's whispering to her, and he pulls her off to the side and goes, "This is going to ruin my life. Just walk away. Don't say anything."
Yeah,
it's like, what? You're just discovering that now?
It's like, this is they're making a fool out of me. They're ruining. Meanwhile, the guy's got like this big, tall, streak, like pointy hair. He's got piercings
he looks like
everywhere.
He's run out of Flock of Seagulls.
He's such a douche.
Yeah, and there was a moment whenever he was getting interviewed at the beginning. And they said, like, who does your hair? And he said, I got a boy that does it. I don't let anybody else touch it. And the girl was like, huh?
Yeah, what?
A boy?
Man, but those girls were so pissed.
Pissed off to the highest pissivity, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to suffer through it again next week.
This shit is gold, man.
It was so tough to even pull, you know, 2 1-minute clips out of an hour-long show.
Well, next week they're showing more video of apparently when the guys were hanging out with those ladies and like chilling with them. So they're even going to put these women through more shit. And they on the next Tool Academy, they show them watching, and he's like, "Hey, baby," and grabbing her ass. And the other girl's like, "Slap!" Like slaps him in the face. And he hangs his head in shame. Like, I can't help it. They're hot girls, man. What am I supposed to do?
I can't control myself around them. It's got a mind of its own. I've got alien hand syndrome. It craves ass.
You're a tool. You've been expelled. Exit. Get the out of here right
I love
now.
That he prefaced get the F out of here with exit.
I love you're a tool. So get out of here. There's the exit sign. You see it lit up. Get the F out. So
yeah, it's funny that he would go through all that trouble, even though there's cameras all around.
Yeah.
And he's looking like even a bigger douchebag than if he just would have walked out the door and left.
It's funny. I can't believe that, honestly, they didn't get rid of Big John on the first episode.
I was kind of shocked at that.
But
I didn't see, you know, the Josh guy was an asshole, but I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure it would have been
a stupid show, but it's so entertaining for all the trashiest reasons, you know. You know, turmoil, women crying, guys acting like douchebags. What's not to love about this, right? Awesome.
What about being gay?
Huh? Well, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Hell's Kitchen. Let's do it.
It's like looking at a you know.
Mom's homemade pie. Now, Cool Whip.
I want my Cool Whip.
There isn't a fresh homemade pie that doesn't hunger for the fresh homemade taste of Cool Whip. Cool Whip. One fresh homemade taste deserves another.
When the clock strikes 6:30, time to head for Golden Light. It's a good time for a great taste dinner at McDonald's. It's Mac tonight. Come on, make it Mac tonight.
A double pleasure is waiting for you.
Album of the decade is burning up the airwaves. This is Guitar Rock, a giant four record set. Original hits by the original stars on four LPs or two double-length cassettes, $19.99. Two compact discs, $24.99. Nothing rocks harder or louder. Have your credit card ready. Here's on order.
You order call 1-800-435-5000 or send $19.99 for four records or two cassettes or $24.99 for two compact discs. Plus $4 shipping and handling to Guitar Rock, P.O. Box 4550, Omaha, Nebraska.
Man your battle station.
It's electronic talking battleship from Milton Bradley. So real, it really talks.
Battleship armed.
Battleship armed. We're talking instant programming. Three skill levels and only Milton Bradley's got them.
Carrier.
Against the computer or opponent, your mission, sink the enemy fleet.
Battleship sunk.
Battleship sunk.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Electronic talking battleship and original battleship. Only from Milton Bradley.
The tape is really on and it looks kind of funny.
The tape is in the shape.
The crunch is in the shape. Cup of funky honey. The crunch is really great. The crunch is on the money.
It's almost like being in the movie, an interactive game from LJN.
Remember me? I'm the kid that had a report due on space. Then I got the new Encyclopedia Britannica.
He had a report due on space, and then he got the new Encyclopedia...
I think I made that abundantly clear.
Yes.
Anyhow, Here it is. I mean, hey, everybody knows this is the greatest encyclopedia in the world. Help me get a B+.
Why not an A?
Too long. I found so much great information, I put it all in. Overkill.
Hmm.
The next report I did was for my science class on the human body. Scored an A.
Good.
Look at this. I always wondered where my mandibula was.
Mm-hmm. For details on how you can own the new Encyclopedia Britannica...
Let's have that 800 number. Excellent.
Just call this number and we'll send you this free booklet.
Tell them about the gift.
And just for previewing Britannica in your home, we'll give you this 3-volume desk reference set.
This is like having your own research library at home.
Yes. So if you would be interested in owning the new Encyclopedia Britannica...
Don't press. They see the phone number. If they want to, they'll call.
I guess you're right.
Trust me.
Books, check them out. Books, check them out. Pick up a book. You got a fantasy, imagination can take you to where you want to be. Are you curious? How can you find out? Books, check them out. Books, check them out. Read about stars and cars, play electric guitars, the cops that work hard, patrolling the boulevards, the heavyweight champ in his craziest bout. Books, check them out. Books, check them out.
At your library.
Hi, Ronald!
Hi, kids. You want to hear my talking dog?
What's he say, Ronald?
Spot, what's on top of a house?
Roof!
How does sandpaper feel?
Roof!
But Ronald, any dog can say that.
Well, they were easy questions.
Let's visit the land of heavy metal
with our most excellent cereal.
Pass the gruel!
Looks like a gruel duel, dude.
Heinous display of manners.
We've got a most excellent way to start your day.
Or night.
Bill and Ted's excellent cereal.
Cinnamon oats with marshmallow notes.
It's the most triumphant part of this complete breakfast.
Awesome cereal duel.
Who gets the last bowl?
He does.
Bill and Ted.
Gonna have me some cereal.
Gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some
cool to each other.
Gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some. Gonna have me some. Gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some. Gonna have me some fun.
Being a robot.
Gonna have me some.
It's called being gay.
Hey. Hey, before we talk about Hell's Kitchen, I just wanted to make this announcement. We will no longer be covering Big Brother on the show.
No.
Because I am so friggin' annoyed by the show. I haven't watched it in like 2 weeks, and I just can't handle it anymore. Because usually, you know, there's someone in there that are such douchebags that I can't stand them. They're now set up to possibly win the thing. Jeff, the moron that he is, who had everything lined up for him, made a bad decision, got rid of...
A bad decision?
He made an incredibly just horrible, ill-conceived decision of stupidity.
That's a little better.
I mean, he went from winning to losing by one decision. And that was by listening to Natalie, the supposed 18-year-old. Just, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so annoying.
No.
But just forget it. Big Brother does not exist anymore. I'm wiping it off the map. What do you think, Steven?
I've always wiped it off the...
Oh, hell no!
Oh, yeah.
I was never a fan of it.
Now,
it always annoyed me.
Steven, how dare you? No, I agree with you now. Steven was always right. We should have listened. Now, Sons of Anarchy is back this Tuesday. I'm really excited. It's on the same channel as Rescue Me, so you fans of Rescue Me, you're telling me to talk about that? Go watch Sons of Anarchy, even if you didn't watch the first season. What the hell?
Another season of confusing references to a man named Sam Crow.
No, it's not a man named Sam Crow. The club is called Sam. Oh, I get what you're saying. Like, if you didn't watch the show, you'd go, who the hell's Sam Crow?
Who's Sam Crow?
And I've actually read a couple of reviews who said that... The season is even better because these people who review shows or whatever
they get the whole season
4 or 5 episodes in advance. It's no fair, no fair, man. But yeah, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen. First of all, we didn't do a show last week, as you guys know, because we didn't do a show, so you would know that. Robert was eliminated. Remember, he was dying in the hospital. He came back
temper tantrum boy.
He came back and went,
and then he died.
What was that when he walks in? He's like, whoop, whoop. But his whole team turned on him. He's like, oh, Robert's back. Oh, we're such a great team without him. Why did he have to come back? But he kind of had, I think he totally screwed himself by, like, when he's like, Andy, come here. And he's like, oh, thank you. What's that, Robert? I was just saying thank you. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's just being a poor sport and everything. But
he's being incredibly arrogant.
I put together this little reel of Robert basically hanging himself. Let's check it out.
Yes, I had a bad service, but I do not deserve to go home because there's people here like Andy. They're not better than me.
I don't think me or Van should go home. Yes, based on today's service, we should be up there. Based on a collective, how many times has Andy been up there? You want weak or you want strong with you?
I don't want to go up there. I don't think I should be up there today. I think I've been up there enough. I'm the guy who will do anything, anytime,
anywhere. That's a way to justify it.
That guy's a lazy eating chicken pot pies all day long.
You've been up there three times.
You want my opinion, I give it to you.
I'm telling you. Want my opinion?
Hey, you want me to talk?
Oh,
that's your problem. You don't listen.
You don't listen?
He's a gourmet chef that eats chicken pot pies.
I'll bet my whole damn savings account
that
you ain't ever going to win this, all right? Whether it be me and I win it, you damn sure ain't winning it.
Has anyone told you they hate working with you?
So what? Suck it.
Hey, Robert, the day you get the success I have, give me a
successful. You've been up there three times.
Oh my God.
Oh God. My first nomination is Robert.
Somebody's banging on a washing machine.
Robert, because he had a weak service tonight. He's had some health problems.
He had a weak service tonight.
Dave, a robot?
Okay.
What the hell?
Second nominee and why? Based on tonight's performance.
Error.
I'll be nominating Ben.
I know I sound emotional.
I will be nominating Andy. Right. I have no
Andy,
feelings
come
whatsoever towards either one of these people.
This is where...
Thank God.
What was that, Robert?
Thank God he's up here.
Andy.
Yes, sir.
I can't feel that standing in front of me right now is Whistler's head chef. That's... me being blunt. Now, Robert, tell me, why you think you should stay in Hell's Kitchen on the back of that performance?
My history here on Hell's Kitchen, never been up on the block once. And I'm disgusted that I even share the same stage with this guy right here, all right? Been here three times, not there for the team, always around.
Chef, can I address that for a second?
Yeah, if you ask my whole team, they'll all tell you that he does nothing during the day, he barely does anything. He says,
fly underneath the radar all night,
he reserves his energy, which means he does...
Yeah, and then all night you're on desserts, hiding from chef. At least my fat ass is right there.
I was assisting you.
What were you doing? You're like hiding up. Chef,
cleaning up your oil and
chef,
cleaning up your lamb.
Well, the fact is you don't like being told that you don't have it. I don't need to have your respect.
Dude, you don't got it.
If you win Hell's Kitchen, I hang up my chef clothes for life. You hear me?
My decision is, Andy, get back in line. Robert, take your jacket off. And the reason being, big boy, you've had more services in Hell's Kitchen than any of these. And that last dish you sent me this evening, it was raw.
Well, you'll see me again as a chef, you know.
I can't wait to see you again. And thank you for trying.
Thank you. Andy, your time is come, man. Guaranteed.
Robert's closing plea was quite entertaining. But I'm not looking for a performer. I'm looking for a head chef. And Robert's not that guy.
Exactly.
Swelling of the sack.
But, you know, it was nice.
Yeah, boy.
Is his name Dave?
Yeah.
He's a front runner probably to win. He was really...
I am the front runner to win Hell's Kitchen.
Listen, he was really concerned about Robert.
I'm concerned about him.
I am concerned about Robert.
My chip is malfunctioning, Gordon Ramsay.
He sounds like that
my concern
that
chip.
Robot character that Peter Serafinowicz does, Michael Six.
Yeah, you got to see that on
Happy
YouTube.
Face.
It's a talk show by a robot. In every episode, he malfunctions.
It tries to kill the crew or the guests
hilarious.
The audience.
But, I mean, just to see David so emotional was really upsetting.
I'm concerned about him.
Wow. But Robert just hang himself. And you know, this week
I have never heard someone so monotonous. I am concerned about him. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, no, he's like, got no emotion in his voice at all. It's just ridiculous.
How dare you?
No, okay. Before we get to this week's episode.
Oh, sorry. I just have that voice in my head. I can't get it out.
I'm concerned about him.
He's a freaking robot. He's like, this season on Hell's Kitchen, we have humans and one droid is competing. Yeah. I'm very excited. He has an emotion chip, and it can malfunction at times, so be careful around him. But this week on the forum, was it Baron VG on the forum? He posted, you know, he listens to the show, and he thinks it's funny when we talk about inconsistencies in the editing. Did you see this post he made?
Yes.
And he's like, okay, this is the worst editing job I've ever seen, because this week on the show, there's a part where Gordon Ramsay's yelling at, is her name Amanda?
Amanda.
Yeah. Amanda. And there's a cut where he's yelling at her about something or talking to her sternly. And in the background of the shot is Tech, who's already been eliminated. So
like
it's a shot of her back in the kitchen. They're so bad at editing. They took somebody that's not even there anymore, and they're in the shot.
Wow.
So they're like, oh, we need a shot of him yelling at her because she's going to get eliminated this week. Well, let's go back in the archives. It's like, hey, what are the...
Next week, there's going to be a shot of Robert on desserts.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny you say that, because I was looking, you know? It's like, he's...
Well, I saw it. When I first saw the show, I saw it, and for some reason, it just didn't click. I thought she was still there.
I know.
Like, I wasn't like, hey, she's gone. I guess she was... So not memorable. And
some people are really good at picking that stuff up, and it's like, I'm not. I didn't notice it myself, but I went to look. I still had it on my DVR, and I found it, and I just laughed my ass off. Because it's just like, the editing is so bad. There's a part here where Andy is, I only got enough mashed potatoes. I don't even think I have enough, Chef. He's like, what? And he's like, okay, I got enough. And he hands the pan to Gordon Ramsay, and he's like, this is just enough. Cut. The next cut has him with this big ass pan of mashed potatoes. What? Did he mean he had enough for just? I'm confused. My brain is like.
I thought that was
he had the replicator do them.
I mean, they were talking about the last three plates,
right? So he, I mean, were they saying that?
The hell was that?
That's my phone ringing.
Oh,
he doesn't know how to silence his phone.
No, I do. It's just,
I thought there was like some ice cream man and driving by the.
It's my. I've got the Three Stooges ringtone for my wife's BlackBerry, and she's ever sending me a text message from that. But what I was saying before is, was it inconsistent in editing, or did he have a whole shitload of mashed potatoes? But he was saying he only had enough that was ready for that. Or is it inconsistency in editing?
It's inconsistencies.
Inconsistency in editing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because Dave had to go find those.
Yeah, Dave had to use the ends and stuff from the.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't want
to
eat that shit, but it might be good. I don't know. But
no, that stuff's good, man.
Well,
the,
you know
the
what?
Ends.
The reason Dave did that is because he's really concerned about Andy.
I'm concerned about him.
Yes, thank you for your concern, Dave.
I can't believe you ran out of potatoes.
It's like, Dave, you win Hell's Kitchen. I am so excited right now for winning.
I can't believe how excited I am.
The servo in my left arm has been broken.
Malfunction.
I'm concerned about him. What is this milky substance coming out of my
mouth? Error. Examine.
Okay, so basically this is a gang up on Suzanne episode where Tennille, she yelled at the camera that Suzanne gotta go. You know what I'm saying, Steven? I got spittle flying out my friggin' mouth right all over your food.
That Tennille scares me.
And no,
if I ran into I saw her walking down the street towards me, I'd go the other way.
I swear to
Yo,
God,
Bill,
she,
I know who you is.
She must be doing a Whoopi Goldberg impersonation somewhere off.
She's doing Whoopi / Trump.
Yeah,
she's loud talking.
She watches Jumping Jack Flash and Burglar and all those classic Whoopi movies to imitate her perfectly.
She's like sister act, but
no, that's too good.
They did the palate tasting, which basically they do whatever Top Chef's doing that week. Because last week they did the craps table, both shows did. But they did the little taste test, and I forget who it is, but he said boiled coconut.
That was Andy.
He goes, boiled coconut, chef? And he was like, what the hell, boiled coconut?
How can you even, not only could he taste what it was, he could taste the method that it was cooked in.
I know, it's like, this is coconut, and it's been boiled. Wouldn't you be going, it's boiled coconut? And you know what? When that happened, Dave was really concerned about him.
I'm concerned about him.
I love that guy, man.
His taste buds are not working. I'm so concerned.
I think he needs a hospital. But before I play this clip, the scenes in the next week is finally we get what we've been waiting for. Andy cuts his fingers off. He may never cook again. And they show the freaking ambulance again.
Flatline.
Can't they just keep the ambulance in the freaking parking lot?
You know what we need to watch? We need to go back to every accident and see if it's the same medical crew.
That'd be funny.
You know, another thing is I can't wait till next week when he cuts his fingertips off because Dave is going to be really concerned. Yeah.
I'm concerned about him.
You know what it is? He's in shock. There was blood everywhere. I didn't know what to do.
I need to calm myself. I'm getting really too worked
I'm
up.
I'm having flashbacks of breaking my thumb.
I am fine. I'm concerned really. About him. I'm fine.
He did the same thing. I think I broke my wrist.
There is nothing wrong.
He's like, you might quite possibly leave Hell's Kitchen because you're a broken wrist. What do you think? No, chef, I'm going to stay. I don't feel pain. I have no...
Even though my fingers are numb, I can still cook.
They show him like he's like Arnold in Terminator. He's got his wrist cut open. He's got pliers in there.
I will fix the hydraulic leak in my thumb later.
Hydraulic leak. Oh, Dave, you keep getting oil in the salad. It's like, well, what's wrong with that?
It's a balsamic oil.
All right. Well, let's check out Tennille yelling at the camera.
Get another one going. Those are too dark.
They're all good.
In my lifetime, I've probably cooked 20,000 scallops.
Wow. I really think you should get another one on.
That's a lot of scallops.
Suzanne doesn't get it, man. When I open my mouth and say something, shut up and listen.
Where's the scallop?
Oh. In hand, chef.
Good. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Behind you.
Nice color on the scallops there.
Yes, chef.
Scallops.
Obviously, I know what's going on. I know how to cook food. That's not my struggle here.
Hey, today I am the best of the worst. I already knew who I was putting up. Suzanne, you don't know how to work as a team.
Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Face. You're going home, girl.
Putting you up because you stunk it up. You try to throw people under the bus.
Well, man,
honestly,
isn't she throwing her under the bus?
Yeah, you'd be going up by yourself.
First nominee,
this reality show.
The first nominee, chef, is Suzanne. Suzanne confirmed today for lack of teamwork over arrogance, and I do believe she is the weakest cook, chef.
Could you be quiet? Okay. I want to hear the music, Tennille.
Okay. Suzanne, tell me why you think you should stay in Hell's Kitchen.
I give my full every day, and it pisses me off that my team doesn't believe in me. I believe it's personal.
I feel that gets in the way inside
of the kitchen.
Why are you shaking your head, Tennille?
I told her I am not spiteful. You are not up here based on our relationship. You are based on your teamwork and your performance today and today only. This is a prime example of what I'm talking about. She was going to lead you to believe that this was personal. And that's what she does. Throw people under the bus, chef.
Who is this boss you're talking about?
All right, Sabrina.
Yes, chef.
Tell me.
Is it a
why do you think you should stay in Hell's Kitchen?
I believe I should stay in Hell's Kitchen because, chef, I kept having to cut new lamb to keep up with Suzanne.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You guys, I was trying to push.
Yes.
Chef,
no,
she keeps saying she had
confused.
To push, because she put us behind. That's why we had to push.
Are you done?
Yes, Chef.
Shut your mouth.
And every week he's doing the same thing. He's like, Suzanne, get back in line. Amanda, get the hell out of here. And you know what? I liked Amanda. She was like, well, you know, I got eliminated. Oh, well. But I'm going to be the best cook in the whole world. You know, she's like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, she's just totally the opposite of Robert. You know.
And then what's his name was still out there saying, I'm not no bitch.
He's still
in the parking lot waiting to fight. Get back in.
I know. I saw Dave looking out the window at him. He was really worried.
I'm concerned about him.
He's been there for weeks.
He's still out there. Chef Ramsay, you should get some security.
That one of my primary functions is security. He's like,
I must obey the three laws.
It's like
the public trust.
It's like a time lapse of David for the window, like in T2. It goes from nighttime to morning. Oh God, that'd be awesome.
I'm concerned about him.
Oh, man. Love that guy. You know, next week, I'm just going to be laughing, waiting for Robot Man to talk.
I'm not going to be able to watch it without laughing.
Freaking robot, man.
Ouch, I burned myself.
Oh,
I'm concerned about her.
Watch out, Chef Ramsay, this pot is hot.
Oh, I love that guy.
Behind you.
You know what's funny? He's just like this weak. He's talking, it's just like, you know, there's something about him. He's so robotic. Ah. All right, let's talk about Top Chef. Now, Top Chef, last week, what we missed, we'll just briefly mention that it was about, Bachelor and Bachelorette patio yes. party where they make food or something like that.
With some overblown gay anger.
Yeah, there's this lesbian who, I mean, it's Las Vegas. People get married there. That's like one of the things about Las Vegas. People get married in Las Vegas, right?
And then annulled. 24 hours later.
Yeah. But the lesbian was really upset. You know, I feel for her. She can't get married legally. It really sucks. But this is a cooking show, and
yeah,
you're there to win
a
competition.
Show.
It's not hang out, kind of drink beer, and kind of, you know, kind of yell about stuff. You know, you're unless you want to be like Big John on Tool Academy.
I love that the other lesbian had to go, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know what's wrong.
Yeah. Like, and she was even like, should I feel bad? Because I don't really even care, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, no, the girl's just being dramatic. She's being a drama queen, basically. Or she's just being
a drama
stupid.
Llama.
Yeah. And she looks like a dude anyway, so she could probably marry a chick
and
get away with it.
Can she please do something with her hair?
And what's with these weird people with all the weird friggin' arm tats? They got the sleeve tats.
Well, they've either got arm tats or mouth studs or, you know, it's just like, what is this appeal anymore? It's so ugly.
Different.
It's just ugly.
Wait, you look just like her.
At what point do you look around and go, oh, there's nothing unique about me. I just look like all these other friggin' people got tats everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, come
but
on.
But I'm unique because I have a sun tattooed right on my chest.
Well, there's even that guy with a big old bushy beard guy.
Yeah, and he's always stroking it. Like he's,
that's disgusting.
Yeah.
They show the part where he takes off his shirt, and he's even got tats on him. And it's just like, oh, dude.
I'm concerned about him.
I am too, Dave. But
Dave is actually going to serve at the suicide hotline.
God, I really want Dave to appear on Top Chef next season.
Can you imagine that if you called like a helpline? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill myself. I've lost everything.
First. I'm very concerned.
Please do not terminate your life.
Yes.
So let's
allow
go.
Me to exterminate.
What did they do this week, Bill? They cooked a buffet basically for the Thunderbirds, the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds are go.
I love that tough enough.
I never knew how they the marionettes ate.
No, but it's the Fabulous Thunderbirds who fly on their jets, right?
Yeah, it's
and Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother is one of the pilots.
He's one of the pilots.
So, but it's also people being shipped off to Afghanistan, people
some are
returning.
Coming back.
Yeah. Wow, they brought the military in for a concert, or they were showing the cartoon thing?
And I was waiting for a lesbian and go, you know what? I can't be out in the military, so I'm really upset. I'm going to go drink on the patio.
Why weren't they mad about that?
But she wasn't, because she knows that there
they
are
said,
a lot
ask,
of
don't tell.
Yeah, there's a lot of gays in the military. They just don't know about it. But she's got gaydar, so it'd be funny if she was like gay, bisexual. But okay, so this is the thing I was confused about. They said you're just one giant team, right? And how I don't understand how they were supposed to judge it before they decided to break off into teams. Because they're like,
I know. Wouldn't they have had to been told that's what they do?
I know, because they were like, guys, why don't we break off into pairs?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, but I was thinking, what if they didn't do that? How the hell would they have judged them in anything? I didn't understand. Like, what if there's
Methinks that they hired the editor for Hell's Kitchen for this episode.
Yeah, because I saw Tech in the background.
Yeah, Tech was there.
What's Tech doing there in that red jacket? But what was funny is they have one of the twins made some bacon.
Wonder Twins?
He won by making delicious bacon. And his guy, who was part of his team, made the shitty shrimp salad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he actually went to the grocery store and bought that.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Everything was in the mess hall, and it was all canned goods. And you know how chefs are. They're like, canned goods? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, it's cans.
I do not cook with cans. How dare they?
Beans?
And you know what?
I only cook with organics.
Did you guys notice the guy who won didn't use any canned food? He used a slab of bacon that was sitting there?
Yeah.
So,
he used bacon, peanuts, and what was it? Romaine lettuce.
So is he a cheater? I don't know. But here's what I think.
Well, if it was just what was available.
People lose sight of this, and I think they were just thinking about what to make. That guy never stopped thinking about what he wanted to win with. You got to think.
Exactly.
You got to think, no, I'm going to use this shit because I'm going to make a winning meal. They weren't thinking about that, which is their fault. Like Preeti and the other girl, I forgot. Let's go ahead and check this out, because what's funny is the Mike, who is the one of the twins, right? And
no, he's wait, I'm confused.
There's one guy with sleeve tats who's a douchebag, basically, and he thinks he's the top chef already. He made the best.
Oh yeah, because he was on the team with Mike.
Yeah, and what was funny is they're like, you guys come here because you're a team, you're one of the top. And as they were talking, he was like, well, it was basically all him with the bacon. I made the shrimp salad. She was like, oh, well, we want you to bring these
people. That's good to know. Thank you for incriminating yourself.
Yes. Bring these people and you come back too, because your shit is about to get eliminated. So let's go ahead and check this out.
The challenge today was a team challenge. Typically, people are responsible for bits and pieces, but you guys decided to team up. Michael, Preeti and Lorraine seem a little confused as to why they're here. You just seem downright pissed.
Yeah, I am. Me and Mike said we were going to do a carving station, and he's just like, I'm going to have to wait to finish the sauce. I said, well, let me just do like a Greek salad and help out the team, because it was a team thing. I didn't have to do that dish.
But you were responsible for it, and it ended up bland.
Yeah, I love Padma right here.
It was under-seasoned, and the shrimp were undercooked, and they had no flavor.
I wasn't even 100% about serving it, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie.
And you shouldn't have served it.
Trying to get an idea of who was responsible for what.
Then
who said, let's make pasta salad? No one. Somebody said it. I don't think at the same exact time said pasta salad.
Did you think that there was something like really effective about clam chowder on a 90-degree day?
Not at all.
Okay.
No.
Just curious.
It was a better version of clam chowder than your version of pasta salad.
Nice try. Fail.
Do you think the pasta salad was a good dish? You know, was it the winning dish? No. Did I, you know, satisfy a niche in the menu today? Yes.
But, Lorraine, why didn't you try to cook a winning dish?
To be honest with you, I think I completely forgot about the competition. That was a bad answer.
It was a bad answer. It was a bad dish. It was a bad idea.
It's like I should have said that.
Creepy.
Yeah, I can't.
Please pack your knives and go. Thank you for the opportunity to compete. I'm definitely disappointed. I know how to cook great food. I know I bring great flavors to food. But I got to know the competition, and competition seems a lot stiffer than it's been in past seasons. Bye, guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's more difficult this season. It's like, how do you know? But, you know, she made me think of Amanda.
Yeah, it's not that she sucks.
She made me think of Amanda on Hell's Kitchen. When he's like, could you win Hell's Kitchen? Yeah. You know, that's what I think got rid. Yeah, I can. But, yeah, Top Chef, good show, fun show to watch. I love it. I'm always entertained by it. Except, Bill, we always talk about every season how the judges' table, they, you know, they didn't want to get rid of the douchebag yet because he's entertaining and they got to keep him on the show. Preeti, she was boring, you know. Yeah. She was in Slumdog Billionaire.
She was gay, but she wasn't angry like Ashley.
Yeah, you need to keep the angry lesbian around. And she even made a good meal this time. So,
yeah.
So let's talk about The Colony, Bill. Love The Colony. Every week it gets more and more interesting.
Best reality show on television right now.
It really is, because it doesn't have a bunch of douchebags, you know. Like, what would you call it? Tools, if you will. Do you guys mind if I
there
say that?
There you go.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
Yeah, exactly. These are all normal people and incredibly smart people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a good
too bad
show.
None of them are androids.
I know, because, oh, God, I would love Dave to be on The Colony. Especially last week, remember, the doctor disappeared. He was abducted.
He would have been very concerned about the doctor.
I'm concerned about him.
Oh, what is the doctor's name, Bill?
George.
George. They were doing this thing where they're raiding an old hospital for medicine and stuff. He goes walking down in the basement, and Mike's like, oh, I'll be right back, and I'll come right back. He's gone. And it's like, they have chosen to remove George from the simulation or whatever. So they're freaking out, man. They're like, where the hell's George? They're searching for him. They go back. They're telling everybody. Everybody's crying. And he's like, that one guy, what's the guy with the ponytail?
He's Vlad.
Like, was he like in the army in Croatia in a war?
Yeah, he was like a super soldier. And he's like, I've never left a man behind. He's like, and he's like on the edge of tears.
I've been on battlefields and never left a man behind. And he's like, we're going back. So they go back and they look around and he's gone. But, you know, the thing I keep wrestling over is...
So he's sitting somewhere eating pot pies, not doing anything.
Yeah, the doctor sitting in a room. And that's what I'm like, will he return into the I'm going to say the game. Is he going to return into the experiment? I don't know, but...
No, I think they're replacing him with the mad professor's wife.
So what are they doing? Like, they're showing them what it would be like...
If this really happened,
yeah. You're going to take losses, yeah. I would think. And this is what happened. And unfortunately, it's your doctor who this happened to. And
but they still have the hot nurse.
Yeah, they still have the hot nurse. And, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting, like, this week is there, like, a lot of them are like, yeah, I'm just not interested in eating. I'm still upset over George. And it's like their food is dwindling. It's like they don't really care. They've become, like, passive in their own survival because they've lost someone. They're all depressed, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one really smart guy, he's like, my brain's not functioning because I don't have any protein. And
he's a vegetarian, so he's not getting any protein if he's not eating any of the meats.
And basically what happens is they have no – oh, I remember what happens is your propane is all gone.
Yeah, they run out of propane, and that's what they use to boil the water they drink.
So he comes up with this thing where, what is it to?
An ozonator.
An ozonator. By creating ozone flowing through the water, the ozone basically cleans it, right?
Yeah, it kills the microbes and all that stuff. It's basically, have you ever tasted tap water that tasted chlorinated?
Yeah.
That's ozone.
It's almost like sometimes when you buy bags of ice at the store, the ice tastes like that.
Exactly. It's cheap to use because you can produce ozone, you know, electrically like he does. He runs it through a Tesla coil, and then Mike creates a kind of like a cylinder that the sparks jump or arc across this.
The fact that this, like, guy does this with junk in a warehouse is just awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome to see him put it all together and work it all out, and then find a way to pump the ozone into the water. And
if he can't figure it out, he can usually tell the handyman guy. He goes, "I need this. Help me make it." And he's like, okay. And he finds the parts and he puts it together for him. It's like,
yeah, Mike is just about as smart, like, with like know-how of putting something together as the scientists are in coming up with the idea.
The problem is he's just a big angry monkey.
Yes.
And he likes to yell a lot. And in this episode, it seemed like they were all just too exhausted to even yell, you know? And they just,
yeah, there was this like absent of, energy.
Yeah. And it almost made me tired watching it.
The professor putting together the ozonator and then Morgan working on getting a record player to work.
Yeah, that was awesome. And what happens first? Did they go get water before the record player?
Yeah, they went to get water first.
And this is interesting. They go to get water and they run into some people and they're missionaries. Let's go ahead and check this scene out, because it's very strange. Because all of a sudden they see these people in the distance. It's like, what the hell? There's people.
Prepare to meet God. Judgment's coming.
Let's pull.
Are you going to survive the judgment of God?
I'm Bob. We preach on the river. We're trying to survive, just like you. We got to stick together as human beings.
It was nice to see that people are still keeping hope and faith alive. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
All right, guys, just don't go any further. Just stay right there.
Well, what about sharing? Maybe it's sharing time.
We don't have the resources.
Don't have the resources.
No.
Yes, is there any more to give? And I said, I'll give you my own water that I brought, the own jug, my own jug. Here's my own jug of water. It's all, you know, I have.
All right, what a guy. What a guy.
Have a good journey. Thank
God
you.
God be with you.
Thank you.
As they walk away, you know, God bless. One of the ladies about halfway down, she turns around, comes around and gives me a can of food. To have that lady come to me and actually give me that can of food was a sign of true giving that you really can't describe, and it overtook me.
John V, are you okay?
It kind of gave me a new, like a little new little battery charge on faith and hope, and I think my purpose is here right now with the family I have here right now, and hopefully put some faith and hope in a lot of these people here that don't have that. So I think that's my mission right now.
You know what was crazy about that is I know I'm watching this experiment that it's not really a post-apocalyptic society, and I got choked up by that. When that lady turned around with her one can of food and gave it to him, I know that lady's not really starving. She's like there for the simulation for that guy's benefit. And somewhere in the back of his mind, he knows it's not real, but you're so into it. The fact that he felt something made me feel something, that he's like, there's people and they're still sharing because they don't have any food in that warehouse.
No, they've been in this thing for 40 days now.
Yeah.
So it's got to be overwhelming.
Because, you know, like, they've basically, it's like your brain just knows what it's seeing. So they've adjusted to where it's like this atmosphere.
How long are they supposed to go?
I'm not sure.
I don't know how many phases of the experiment there are.
I know that they've talked about the final phase is them leaving and following some kind of map or whatever, because they're building this giant, like, death coaster, you know, thing, which I can't wait to see that when they're done.
Death coaster.
But the fact that the guy got real choked up about that, it made me get choked up. And I realized how much that I care for these people in this place.
Yeah.
And they're not even in danger, really. Maybe they're in mental danger of going insane.
Yeah, I think they are actually kind of, because they all sound so tired and so just distraught, especially after, you know, losing George. But then they're all trying so hard to bring themselves back from the edge. You have Morgan making the record player, and they all finally get to hear some music, and they're all dancing, and you could see the genuine happiness on their faces. Like, it was it just totally lifted their mood. And then the professor works on he takes a car halogen light and puts it in a old projector they found with a couple reels, and it's old home movies, and they're all sitting around, you know, watching this thing, talking about how much they miss their real lives.
Right. They're, you know, it's of the beach, of like a boardwalk and like a merry-go-round and stuff, and they're all like, just realize how much they miss everything. And you know what? There was a moment on last week's episode at the very end, you know, George is gone, and they even made this SOS sign to lead George back, and they were going to shoot off fireworks, but they didn't work to so George could see him from somewhere. And they showed this little montage of George, and you hear his voice go, "I hope to find my way back," or something like that. And I was just like, oh my God, he's dead, or whatever. It's like, he's not dead.
It honestly felt like it.
Yeah, it's like he's
and
really
gone. I was
gone.
On Facebook messing around, and I found that guy's Facebook page. I was like, he's alive!
Yeah,
he's alive!
He's got friends. And I love there's a mic. It's like a fake mic Facebook, right? The big...
No, that's real Michael Raines. That's him.
Oh, okay. But it's like... Their experiment's over, and those guys are now done with the show, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, that's it. They probably shot it last year.
Because it says, I'm just a big angry monkey or whatever, and I started laughing. It was like, George didn't listen to me. He should have stayed put. It was funny posts on there.
Yeah, some of them have, like, fan pages that you can interact and they interact with, but they also have their own private Facebook pages.
But there's rats all over that warehouse, which is really gross, and they're like, we could catch rats and eat them. And some of the people, like the nurse chick is like, I'm not eating rat. And the other guy's like, I'll try it. So they catch it. And the one guy from the military or whatever, he's a long time ago, he's like fillets that shit and he's frying it up and he's putting like oregano on it. And
yeah, he marinated it in oil, salt, and rosemary.
So it's like, I'm just going to have a taste, and they're sticking it in the restaurant.
Yeah, the professor was a vegetarian.
Yeah, and
he's like, I need something. I need some protein.
And does the chicken just not lay enough eggs for them to – probably doesn't. Like,
no.
What is the chicken lay, like one egg a
they
day?
Probably, I think the chicken lays like – don't quote me on this, but probably like 2 eggs a week.
But I'm wondering how the people who run the show are like, man, I feel bad. Let's give them a map to some stock of food or something because these people are miserable. Like, when do they do that? I don't know. But you know what I'm hoping for? The colony's still going on. I can't wait for more episodes. But next season, I want them to do work in a zombie element or something like that. Or mutated people, something like that.
Oh, muties.
Like, they even, like, have radiation.
Yeah, radiated.
Yeah, where they have to, like, build suits to protect them from radiation. I don't know. But it's really cool how inventive these people are. And it's just an inspiring show. Just the emotion that you feel during watching this thing that's not even... It's not real, but it's real to them. That's why it's so affecting. And then you watch some garbage like Tool Academy or The Real World, and people are ripping up zombie magazines. Yeah. I want to bring that chick who ruined a zombie magazine there and tell her all she has to eat is rat.
No.
See what happens there.
Sauteed rat.
That would be awesome. You know, but I don't think that zombie magazine guy would be able to survive.
I'm concerned about him.
I would be too.
I can't get over that guy.
Poor
man.
Dave.
Wow. You know what? It kind of reminds me of something.
This reminds me of 1938. When the Allies decided to appease Hitler.
Exactly.
When the Allies decided to appease Hitler.
The same as his magazine. And that reminds me of Entourage. Hey!
Wow. Oh, I wish I could forget it.
You know what? I swear to God, I have this honest feeling every week watching Entourage. Why am I still watching this shit?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it's morbid curiosity. Like, will it get better?
What do you think of the moment happened this week's show, Steven, when I went, I'm done? What do you think it is? Do you know what it is?
Probably when he drove this car into the house.
No. It was when Ashley called Eric. I'm sorry. I was like, she's back on the show? I thought she was gone. What the hell is she doing back?
I forgot about that. I should have known that.
But the stuff with Gary Cole and his wife and blah, blah, blah. I have a clip here. And I got to tell
you. Ponderous.
Oh, just listen to this. This gives me a pounding headache. But I did this because I wanted you guys to feel my pain, you listeners who don't watch Entourage, okay? You know, I fear for my mental health, Bill.
I'm concerned about him.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate your concern, but let's check this out.
Hey, Ari.
Where are you?
I'm at my house.
Why? When you have a meeting with Aaron Sorkin in 10 minutes.
Because I'm trying to get my notes for the meeting.
Aaron Sorkin, huge star, Bill. This would be quite a coodle in Aaron Sorkin. The agency.
You! Whatever's in this house is now mine!
Andrew, come back to the office.
Not without my notes, Ari. I can't do this meeting without them.
He needs his Sorkin notes, Steven.
I'm a loser.
By the way, the episode's called Sorkin Notes.
And he can't remember anything.
You hear this, Ari? She's unreasonable.
Andrew, hear this. Focus on it. This is the most important meeting of your entire life. I have stuck my neck out for you over and over and over. But if this does not go well, you are done here.
What? You're going to fire me?
Barbara is.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's just great. You hear that, Marlo? Ari's going to fire me.
Oh, and why should I care?
Because even if we don't get back together, you need me to make money.
Get back together. I'd come ask before I would fuck you again.
Oh, bad edit, Jason.
Money, my friend, because I'm
going to
take all you have.
You open a goddamn door, Marlo.
Andrew, can't they be nice to each other and drive you right now?
Without my notes, Ari. I have worked on them for a month. It is the key to me signing Sorkin.
It's Sorkin notes, you guys. In case
you need
you guys
to walk over to your car, get in, and drive here right now.
I wonder if he took notes for his meeting with Aaron Sorkin.
I promise you will be okay.
I think it's an important meeting. Uh-oh.
You want your
Don't you dare burn my Sorkin notes!
Your what notes?
Sorkin notes!
Burning my Sorkin notes.
Oh, those damn Sorkin notes.
Aaron, you didn't really need to come down here.
Tell you, Andrew, I was so eager to hear your ideas, I would have gone anywhere.
This is comedy, guys. Is this supposed to be comedy? I'm not sure.
And faith shall be given to you.
Mm.
Jesus, that's pathetic. He's quoting me. It's the West Wing.
That was fun.
I had a lot more of your quotes written down, and I had a lot of amazing ideas, brilliant ideas, but I couldn't get into my house. My wife wouldn't let me get them. I blew that chance. I blew my marriage, and if I blow this with you...
I've blown my career, too.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
I drove into my own house
for you, Aaron. My own underinsured, overpriced Beverly Hills motherfucking home. I took my car,
and I put it in gear, and I drove...
right into my own goddamn living room. For you. Who else would do that?
This is the Emmy clip.
I had a rough divorce, too.
I get it. We'll give it a shot.
Really?
Yeah, but if he ever calls me, I'm gone.
I'm concerned about him.
The only part that made
Dave needs to be on Entourage.
The only part that made me laugh is when, after he lands Aaron Sorkin, he puts his hand on the glass.
And yeah.
And Ari puts his hand on the glass. I thought it would have been funnier if he just turned and walked away.
I don't know what movie it is. I can't remember. But that Peter Dinklage is in it. And he goes to see someone in prison. And they put their hand on the glass. Or he puts his hand on the glass. And the person goes to put their hand on the glass. But he pulls his hand away and flicks them off and runs away.
I don't know.
I can't remember what movie it was.
I mean, what is there to say? Hey, are you guys concerned Vinny's got a stalker with this storyline?
No.
Peter Stormare. Okay, here's another thing. How unfunny was the Bob Saget thing? Was that the week before? It could have even been the week before that.
Yeah, it was the week before that. And but still, it's like he's so desperate to like appear edgy.
Yeah, it's like
pathetic.
Well, he's been on the show before and it was kind of funny, and it's almost like, you know, I can see Doug yelling like, I got nothing. Can you come back and do that shit you did before? Yeah, and I'll have a hot chick there and I want to bang her in George Siegel's office. It'll be hilarious. Not funny. Scott Conn on the show, bad idea. Hate him. I always have.
Yeah, Scott Conn's an asshole.
Kate Mara, who's Eric's secretary, hot. But what is she doing on the show just being a secretary?
She's slumming it.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with her being in that Mocky Mock movie That shooter where he was the sniper.
Yes. I've watched two Marky Mark movies.
She is smoking hot. But here's the thing. Are they setting it up where Eric has her later? I don't know. But that's the thing that drove me nuts. Like, the only thing that gets me on the show is Sloane. So he's, like, going to go have a drink. Oh, I get to see Sloane. But then Ashley calls, and he's not. He doesn't want to be around her. We all know that they're going to bring them back together. And I'm waiting for Eric to be with Ashley around the guys, and they realize what a horrible bitch she is because she just says what's on her mind or whatever. Whatever. But I'm just glad they didn't have more drama stuff, like with the guy. But this show, it's awful this season. It's so bad. And the only entertainment I get out of it is reading blogs where people go, man, that was the best Entourage yet. And I'm like, what? You know, it's very interesting what Vinny's going through dealing with a stalker. It's like, well, no, it's not.
They haven't done anything other than the funny part, you know, was drama being run through the house pretending to be Vinny.
And they have their little musical cue where they play a rock song or something. But also, remember last week they had the gun and they shoot out a window. Obvious stuff, man.
Yeah. And the thing that annoyed me the most this week, and it's such a geek thing, was Turtle is supposedly playing Gears of War.
And I know what you're talking about.
One, the controller wasn't connected to the Xbox because the center light is flashing.
It's just blinking.
Two, he's not holding the controller right to play Gears of War. And three, when you put Gears of War on pause, it says Gears of War pause. The screen just doesn't freeze.
Yeah. And what was another thing? Was he using just the D-pad for it?
Yeah, he was using the D-pad.
Because if you're playing Gears of War, all that does is switch between your weapons. Like,
yeah, and he's barely moving the right thumbstick.
That was
like he's tapping it.
I love on shows when they also, like, someone's playing games and they're just going, just hitting buttons as fast as they can, like they're playing track and field or something. The old arcade game where you're like, I got to tap it as fast as possible. But, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of stuff. There might be a chuckle here and there or whatever, or Ari might say something that's really rude, so I laugh. I like the fact that Aaron Sorkin hated Ari, but it's just little tiny things. The show, the flow of it is so wrong and bad. Oh, hey, here's Eric again. Let's rag on him about Sloane. Ha, 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 ha. It's not funny anymore, you know?
Yeah, when Gary Cole's sleeping in Ari's office, you know.
He's in a...
In his robe, and there. It's like, okay, still not funny.
And the only part I can remember last week is when they're Vinny and Turtle are smoking pot, and he's like, I see someone in that tree. And you think they're just getting a little paranoid. Right there's someone up there. He's like, where? But, you know, just barely. And I almost think that I imagined it more funny than it actually was.
Yeah, and it ends up being a gardener or something.
Yeah, he sprays the window, and they're like, or whatever. I don't know, guys.
It's bad. It's really, really bad.
I want to see, like, just something happen to Turtle, you know, bad happen to Turtle.
What, like Turtle dies?
Like he chops off his fingers and he's rushed to the hospital.
Maybe drama and Turtle can get in a car accident. And
I'm
drama
concerned
can
about
be
him.
Mentally retarded and Turtle loses his arm.
That would be good. I would watch that.
It would be dramatic.
I want Turtle just to disappear like George on The Call, honey. Where'd he go? Nobody knows.
From the experiment.
People ask Doug Ellen, the writer of the show, what happened to Turtle? He goes, even I don't know. Because I just wrote him out of the show.
I don't care. Who stands in the shadow of the statue?
Yes. Just like Jacob. Turtle stands. Hey, he's a turtle, Bill. He's one of the...
Yes, he is the turtle. He's all the world is on his back, or he holds the world upon his back.
Yeah, and he's a...
Something.
A guardian. Was the turtle one of the guardians? Oh, whatever.
Yes, he was. It's the bear turtle line.
Okay.
Anybody who's not reading The Wastelands sitting there going, what the hell are they talking about? I'm very concerned for them.
I'm concerned about him.
God, I love that guy. Okay, guys, True Blood. You know, there's always, like, last week's episode, I'm going to say is probably, I'm just going to say weakest of the season.
Oh my! I was so angry after it, and I even messaged you. I was like, "Man, I'm pissed. This episode was terrible." And you're like, "You're literally pissed." It's like, no, I'm just annoyed.
Here's what I, Steven, would you agree that it felt like they're stringing it along till the finale a little?
A little bit, yeah.
Well,
stringing it. I mean, they're in a bear. Like,
okay, here's
freaking
Bill. What do I always say? My biggest beef with any kind of horror movie type of thing, like a zombie, is when people do things that don't make sense.
Right.
First of all, it made no sense at all for the previous episode for Sam to go back to Merlot's when what's his face. Arlene called him. He'd already seen her with black eyes and knew she was a zombie or whatever. So she's like, help me, my kids or whatever. She's like, all right, I'll go back. Okay, that made no sense to me at all. It did not work for me at all. Okay, cut to this week. Tara is really worried about eggs and the whole scene where she wants to go help, go get eggs. Just stop her for a second and go, what could you possibly do to rescue eggs? Nothing.
Exactly.
Okay, so she ends up tricking him in a very painful scene with her mom with a rifle or whatever. Like, her mom would have even shot anybody. I don't know.
Exactly, and like her mom would have believed her. Like, this is the only chance I got to get back to my baby's life.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That scene
really
didn't work for me. Okay, so then she goes there. Immediately, there's a scene where she confronts Marianne. Marianne slaps her. She's back to a zombie. That really was annoying.
Yeah.
After all they went through to get her out of it.
Yeah.
So then Lafayette, who I love on the show, Sookie, they're like, we got to go save Tara. And then Sookie's like, I'm going to go in my house and get her. You shoot her in the head or whatever. Okay, well, you saw Vampire Bill bite her, okay? And it did nothing. Why do you think he's going to be able to shoot her? Okay, that made no sense. Why would they put themselves in danger to get Tara back for that? They know they can't do anything. It didn't work for me, that kind of motivation or whatever.
And the fact that they're dragging this along for two episodes.
The thing I do love is Jason Stackhouse and Andy together. I think those guys are gold.
I love the conversation they had in the car.
Dumb and dumber.
Yeah, well, first of all, I've got this scene earlier at Merlot's where, you know, last week they figured out that Sam's a shapeshifter, so Jason's got all these stupid inquiries about it. My favorite is like, so if he's a dog, could he have sex with another dog?
Andy, that's bestiality, Jason.
That's bestiality. That's disgusting. No, it's not. Not if he's a dog. He's just a dog having sex with another dog. Well, let's go and check this out.
You can become any animal anytime. Yeah, as long as I've imprinted on it. That is fucking cool, man.
Yeah, well, as cool as that may be, we still got a main ad we got to deal with before it takes our whole town out.
Listen, you can't deal with it. All right, your best bet's to leave while you still can.
Well, shouldn't we think about getting the law involved?
I am involved.
Well, I mean, Sheriff Dearborn, Kenya, that other guy, the squirrely one.
Sheriff's station was wide open and empty. They ain't gonna help.
Then we have got to be the law. Guys, I read a book about this. This is Armageddon. This is the oral history of the zombie war.
We need weapons. Lots of them. Listen, I hate to break it to you, but guns aren't going to do jack shit to Marianne. And you can't shoot anybody else. Hey, these are our friends. This is our town.
But sometimes you need to destroy something to save it. That's in the Bible. Or the Constitution.
I love all that stuff with them. But even later on, you know, he's like, why do you hate me so much? Because you have everything. He's like, names off. He's like, I'm poor.
My parents died when I was young.
My grand recently died. He's like, well, you can have sex with any woman you want. He's like, well, I got to work for that. I got to watch a lot of porn and work out all the time.
Every day.
I just love it.
Watch porn to learn new techniques.
It's like, this is really difficult, you know?
I work at it.
Now, I want to know. It's very borderline the Queen of Louisiana. How did you guys feel about that?
That was terrible. That girl is such a bad actress.
Because I got my, you know, Heather, she loves True Blood. She loves True Blood to a T. After the episode was over, I was like, what's wrong? Oh, did you not like the episode or something? She's like, why did they cast her as the queen?
Yeah.
that's just not working for me. And I was like, really? You know, because I'm not used to her, like, critiquing it like that. She's like, it just didn't work for me at all.
I mean, you got the queen. What's with the sheriff? You know, now they got to have a queen.
And... Yeah, well, the queen is kind of like in charge of the state, I guess. And the sheriffs run areas is what it is. So...
And the queens are always older than the sheriffs.
I like the personality they gave her. I thought it was funny that... I love the opening scene where she's like going down on the chick and it just immediately goes to the opening credits. But here's the thing. I like what they give Bill a touch of, that he's been alive for a long time. Eric, you know, he's been alive for a long time. They give a touch of that. She seemed like just like pretending to be a vampire. Yeah. Did she seem like she'd been alive for a long time? I don't know.
No.
She had one.
She was very childlike and it was annoying.
She was playing.
Like if you're an old queen. Well, if you're an old queen, if you're an elder and you're a queen, you would think that she would have some sort of regality, you know. And there was no regal quality to her at all.
I liked some of the dialogue they gave her. Like, I thought it was funny about Eric when she told Bill, like, why don't you guys just F each other and get it over with? I thought that was funny, and the fact that she wouldn't let him leave was kind of funny and annoying at the same time.
Yeah.
But he really had no information to tell anyone once he got back there anyway, until she starts talking about the maenads need to have sex and then they're vulnerable or some crap like that. But it's just that actress, I don't know. There's something about her that's just, I don't know.
She's terrible. But that's what it is.
You know, one thing I almost forgot about this, the weird part with Sookie's cousin. Where the hell did that come from? She was like, tell Sookie I said hi. I haven't seen her in a long time. It's like, who the hell is this?
You know her?
Maybe she's in the book sometime later. I don't know.
I'm her cousin.
It's like,
oh, really? Small world. How do you know me?
That was interesting. And what, you know, one thing we have not talked about at all, because I think it happened last season. When they confronted Marianne, Sookie showed some kind of weird power, like glowing white light.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like thinking in my head, like, what could it possibly be? But I almost think of like this, in the supernatural realm, you know, there's shapeshifters, there's vampires, there's werewolves, whatever. But there's also the light realm of supernatural. Maybe Sookie,
exactly,
like telepaths, stuff like that, is more of the white kind of good side. Because, you know, as much as, you know, we like Bill and everything, vampires are evil, right?
They're inherently evil. Yeah.
Shapeshifters, they don't seem like bad people, but I know that the way that werewolves, they're not really good. They like to eat humans, so I'm not sure about shifters yet. He seems like kind of different than the other ones.
Well, he seems more clueless than evil.
But, yeah, the fact that they tricked him back to Merlot's... Oh, and here's another thing that made no sense to me. Okay, the whole town, Bon Tops, is overrun with everyone's brainwashed zombies.
Yes.
He finds Arlene's kids. He's like, come on, let me get you some food. And they're staying at Merlot's. Couldn't those people come back at any time?
But they think they... They thought that the god that came or comes came.
And that scene was funny. She's like, you effing idiots or whatever.
Well, I loved the scene that Jason with the shirt off and has got the air mask on. And then it's like, but the god that comes has horns.
Yeah, so they hold up a stick.
Give me a tree branch.
Yeah, what I love the show is when it's not taking itself too seriously. But, you know, what I don't like is when people do things that don't make any sense. Here's the thing. Arlene's kids, and he feeds them. They go to visit Eric the vampire. And I love that part where he's like, delicious children.
Yeah, that was good.
Pam's like disgusted. And he's like, look, they're miniature people.
They're like miniature people.
Yeah.
She's like, then he's like, I'm going to smell them for a week.
But the thing that made no sense to me, because Sam is in danger or whatever, he goes, all right, well, let's get you back to Bon Tops. I'm like, why? Aren't they in danger there? Why are you going back? That makes no sense to me. I don't understand why they're going back to Bon Tops. It's almost like, even though Marianne, she's scary and the town's overrun, we're not that scared. I'm still going to go to work tomorrow.
It's very localized.
Yeah. I still got to go to work tomorrow, guys. I know there's zombies everywhere.
I got to go pave the road.
This is silly. But I'm hoping they saved it all for the finale, which isn't this Sunday. It's next Sunday.
But I do like the one sheriff that was in there when he went, when Andy went to get guns. He comes in there and starts shooting in the air.
Yeah. I got to take a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, hee, hee, hee. It's like, good God. Do you think Sam, he could lay an egg and he could eat it, you know, if he was a chicken or something like that? Could he eat the egg? And would that be like cannibalism? Or it's like, what the hell are you talking about? What kind of mind even thinks of something like that? Oh, that's great. So that stuff is gold, man. But I don't know. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, and we found out that Eric flies.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
I already knew that, though. I was waiting for them to show that up. Because they kind of hinted at it before. Remember how quick he got to Dallas and the other things? Because we knew he flew there, but they finally showed it. And, you know, one thing that what's funny is it's in the back of my mind, guys, whenever I see someone run real fast, Bill's there for a second, then he's like, whoo! I'm like, oh, it's Smallville moment. Smallville, yeah. But hey, as long as I don't take it too seriously, I'm very entertained. But Bill,
and as long as Eric doesn't have a sonic boom behind him,
he flies like on Heroes. Everybody flies, goes that they all saw in Superman and Returns.
They get the little ring of smoke.
Yeah.
Oh hell no!
Yeah, exactly. Tool. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you guys?
No.
No.
Let's do the news, Bill. What do you say?
Bill,
let's do it.
I'm concerned about him.
What? Dave's concerned about you, Bill. You okay?
Well, yeah, but I'm very glad that he's concerned. It shows he cares.
Good.
I'm concerned about him.
We know, Dave. It's all right. Okay?
All right, so Japan just had an election, and they have a new first lady who's a little off. She says that she rode in a UFO to Venus.
Whoa.
Yeah. She said, while my body was asleep, I think my soul rode on a triangular-shaped UFO and went to Venus.
Oh, my God.
The wife of premier-in-waiting Yukio Hatoyama wrote in a book published last year. It was a very beautiful place, and it was really green. I don't think that was Venus, honey.
It's very green?
Yeah. Yukio Hatoyama is due to be voted in as premier on September 16th, following his party's crushing election victory over the long-ruling Liberal Democratic Party. Miyuki, 66, described the extraterrestrial experience, which he said took place some 20 years ago, in a book titled Very Strange Things I've Encountered. Wow, that's an understatement.
I like the pretty lies.
Hey, that's her. She saw UFOs.
And then a crow ate her eyes. Lawrenceburg, Indiana. An Indiana man has filed a lawsuit claiming police forcibly withdrew blood and urine from his body during a drunk driving arrest. According to the suit,
how do you
police
forcibly
arrested,
withdraw that?
Well, police arrested Jamie Lockhart, 53, on suspicion of drunken driving. Breathalyzer showed he was under the legal limit. But Lockhart and his attorney claim in the suit that police took him to a Dearborn County hospital, forced him to submit to a urine and blood test, and then shackled him to a gurney and had a catheter inserted against his will.
Oh, dude. No.
I mean, what even made them think they could do that?
Oh, forcibly?
Yeah, it's breathalyzer was under the legal limit. They should have, you know, escorted him home or something, but to take him to a hospital and
You're killing my flow here.
Yeah, really. Gwinnett County man accused of slapping a crying toddler in the Stone Mountain Walmart on Monday will remain in jail until next week. Roger Stevens, 61, had been ordered held in Gwinnett County Jail until his next court appearance on the 8th of September. He's declined interviews. Sonia Matthews, the mother of the 2-year-old child that he slapped, told police they are both walking in the aisles of the Rockbridge Road store when Stevens approached and said, "If you don't shut that baby up, I'll shut her up for you."
Oh, my God.
A few moments later, in another aisle, dick. Stevens grabbed the 2-year-old and slapped her across the face 4 or 5 times.
You're a tool, you've been expelled.
Stevens then told Matthew, "See,
exit.
I told you
get
I'd shut her up.
Out of here right now."
Oh, my God. That's what he's saying
to the
baby? A
bystander held Stevens until store security came to assist. When the police arrived, Stevens said that he slapped the child and he apologized to Matthews. Stevens was charged with felony cruelty to children, and the 2-year-old victim sustained slight redness to the face.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
What an asshole.
What a dick, man.
What a typical Walmart shopper, too. Like, oh, I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna tell this kid who's boss, I'm gonna slap his face.
Dick.
Wouldn't you be okay to kill that guy?
I think so. If someone hurt your child, I think it would be okay to stab him in the eye or
grab a garden weasel and run it right to his chest.
Yeah.
A weed popper right in his chest and pop his heart out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm concerned about him.
So am I, Dave.
That's pretty intense, Steven.
You jam it in, step on it, that's like, it just pops right out. That would rock.
The weed popper was the coolest because the commercial, it actually played the popping sound. It was like, if you pop this weed, it'll actually pop. All right. I don't know what these people were thinking. When owners of the Donut Wheel Donut Shop in Huntsville, Alabama, arrived to open their shop on Sunday morning, they found an odd scene, piles and trails of powdered sugar scattered around their building. After investigating, they found more than 2 tons of bagged powdered sugar missing from their storage area. According to Detective Marvin Heivel, who is investigating the case, the burglary occurred sometime between 6 p.m. Saturday and 9 a.m. Sunday. The burglary was the 3rd at the Donut Wheel since May.
Holy shit.
The 1st on May 17th resulted in a theft of shortening and flour. The 2nd resulted in the theft of shortening, yeast, and an air conditioning unit. And now the 3rd... was of sugar estimated at just over $1,400. Maybe like rival donut shop.
Somebody's stockpiling and open up their own shop.
Yeah. Why? Or like what's a rival donut shop's breaking in to take all their stuff and be like, yeah, they're not going to be able to make the donuts, but we will. Ha ha.
And we'll be cool while doing it with their AC.
Yeah. How do you like rob 2 tons of sugar without a forklift?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
In a 33-year-old Lenexa, Kansas man was arrested early this morning after his date got suspicious about his claims of being a police officer, which he wasn't. Aaron Williams was charged today with battery and false impersonation of a police officer, both misdemeanors. The victim called police about midnight Tuesday saying that she was on a date with the man but got a gut feeling something wasn't right. When she tried to end the date, they got into an argument and he threatened to arrest her if she didn't go to his home.
I'm concerned about him.
Yeah. Police responded to the McDonald's. I can't believe he took her on a date to McDonald's.
That's very romantic.
That must be one of those high-class McDonald's, where the woman told them she was in the early stages of a relationship with a man who was passing himself off as a police officer. The two were headed in separate cars to the man's house when something inside her told her something was wrong. The woman decided to pull – oh, she decided to pull into the McDonald's parking lot, so they didn't actually go on a date there. Wow. A small physical altercation occurred. Then the man left. She told police the woman was not injured. Police went to the man's house. He was arrested without incident, searched his house, and retrieved several items, but declined to say what was recovered. I'm going to arrest you, bitch. You better come to my house and have sex with me.
Whoa.
Yeah. Two sheep.
The highest pistivity, bro.
Two sheep, a motorcycle, an adult Spider-Man costume.
Wait, I've heard this joke.
Yeah, really. A cat and a wedding dress were just a few of the weird and wonderful items left at Australian hotels last year. According to the survey carried out by the Aussie online agency Last Minute, however, they were relatively tame compared to some other items that were discovered. A hotel manager told me housekeeping went to clean the room and found a man handcuffed to the bed. They'd apparently had an argument, and his partner had checked out without him.
Hell no!
Travel.com spokeswoman Elena Theodore. One guest left a full set of dentures in a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, hell yeah!
You know, the cleaning people probably went in and went, oh, yeah, chicken! The hotel cleaning staff had to sift through industrial bins to find them after guests called to have them returned. Oh, bummer. The survey also revealed that a surprising amount of adult toys were left in hotel rooms.
Oh, dear.
It makes it quite awkward for guests to reclaim their property. Something tells me they don't reclaim that stuff. Underwear is another popular item to leave behind, although there are reports of a prosthetic leg, a cat, a wedding dress,
well,
and
they
a
need
deceased
the leg
man.
Back. Don't they need the leg back?
Yeah. How did they leave?
Yeah.
They hop.
How could you forget that?
Why am I hopping? I'm forgetting something.
Maybe they had like a second leg, like... One for running, one for walking. Okay, I don't know.
They get the sport leg and the
a spare robot leg or something.
I'd like to know how you leave a dead man behind. Like, oh, he's dead. They'll let them take care of it.
I would leave that behind, too.
On purpose is the only way you do that.
Yeah. All right. This is interesting. Seattle, Mount Lake Terrace police are on the lookout for a trio of escorts who are alleged to have stolen about $440 from four customers who have, so I guess that's $110 a piece. We know how much they charge now, who had invited them over for a weekend party. The cops had their work cut out for them since they're relying on four victims who were incredibly intoxicated and provided only the barest of descriptions. According to police, the four victims decided after a night of drinking they would pull their money and hire an escort from Craigslist. They found a woman whose picture they found appealing and called.
Shall we?
But when the woman and two female friends arrived, the men later told police they found that none of them looked like the woman in the ad.
No. Yeah.
The women were described vaguely to police as being larger and thicker than the female pictured in the Craigslist ad.
Holy shit.
You. I hate the both of you. I never liked you.
Nevertheless, the disappointed men, who ranged in age from 22 to 46, handed over their money while the women were still at the door. One of the women then asked if she could use the bathroom, but instead of going into the bathroom, the woman ducked into a bedroom, started rooting around for things to steal, including a BlackBerry and some jewelry. The men saw her, tried to stop her.
She was stuck in the window trying to escape. She's like Winnie the Pooh, like trying to escape. No. Did you see this giant ass in the bathroom? What the hell? She's trying to escape.
The woman ran outside to her friends, and all three raced back to their car, a maroon Ford hatchback.
So they have an ad for basically escort service, but all they do is just rob people?
Exactly.
That is cool, man.
That's crazy.
The suspects were all described as being about 5'8", white, and chunky.
It's like, guys, I got an idea, man. Let's pull my money, get a prostitute. Craigslist. Best idea heard all night.
Craigslist prostitute.
What?
That chick looked top, but you don't look anything like her.
What the hell?
You're white, but you're chunky.
Ah, what the hell? I'm drunk.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
I'm concerned about him.
A police dog lost the trail of an armed robbery suspect Friday night because police said it was drawn to the smell of the meat stuffed in the homeless man's pants.
Awesome.
Edward J. Brown, 48, was arrested after he admitted he'd just stolen meat from the Super Stop and Shop.
Distracted the dog.
Police were investigating an armed robbery and had called in the scent trailing dog. Witness said they saw the masked robber running south on Franklin Street, so a trooper had the dog head in that direction. A few minutes later, they encountered Brown. The dog went up to him, and the dog must have smelled a tasty dinner in his pants. Officers frisked Brown.
Kibbles and found, bits.
Found nearly $68 worth of meat stuffed in his pants. Brown admitted he'd just stolen the meat from the Temple Street supermarket. He'd left the store without being detected, and he would have gotten away with the theft if he hadn't met up with the dog.
Damn, he almost made it.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you pesky dog. Who stuffs meat in their pants, by the way? Well, I'm not going to say.
It's called being gay.
Nice. All right, last story out of Findlay, Washington. A Kennewick man who apparently wasn't wearing pants has been accused of harassing a neighbor's horse.
What? Doesn't have pants. He's harassing a horse.
I wonder what he wants with that poor horse. Oh, dear. Io Silver. The Tri-City Herald reports the horse's owner spotted a bald man without any pants chasing the horse around 3:30 a.m. Friday in a corral. Benton County Sheriff deputies identified 26-year-old Brandon R. Hankel, who lives next door, as the suspect, and he was jailed for investigation of trespassing. Deputies also had been called to the home near Findlay Thursday evening when the owner saw the same bald man scaring the horse enough to break through an electrical and barbed wire fence. He was wearing black t-shirt and blue shorts at the time.
I'm concerned about him.
Yeah, I guess he decided that he didn't have enough time to strip down the first time, so he'd just go in naked the next time.
Very sneaky.
I'm ready for you, horse. Are you ready for me?
Wow.
All right, and that's news for this
week. Is there something you can share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
Amazing Larry.
What's Amazing Larry doing out there by a horse? He's going to have his way.
My favorite scene in Pee Wee's Adventure.
I love that. He's going to have relations with that horse. Yeah, I love that Amazing Larry stops what he's doing. All right, Bill, thanks for the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do them.
Dad! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray set out of finition!
DVDs, everybody!
I'm concerned about him.
Who, me or Steven?
Both of you.
Both.
Oh.
The whole time.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
DVDs for Tuesday, September 8th, 2009. Starting off with a Fox re-release for $9 of Alien Nation.
Oh, hell yizzle.
If you don't already own it, pick it up. Great movie.
You know what? I love the series more than the movie, but I still like the movie fondly.
Oh, come on. Mandy Patinkin is the alien. He's awesome.
Their whole relationship works. What doesn't work for me is when Terrence Stamp's alien hulks out at the end.
Yeah. That was the worst part.
He's got, like, prosthetic muscles all of a sudden. What?
But the series with Gary Graham was great.
Yes.
It's too bad that there were no robot jocks in that series.
He had robot jocks in it under his pants. We just couldn't see.
Yeah, robot jockeys.
It's called being gay.
Hey. He was all
gay. Right, and next is the kids' lovely cartoon from the, God, what was it? Was it the 70s or the 60s? Beanie and Cecil.
Beanie and Cecil?
That was the dragon, and the, it was Bob Clampett cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
This reminds me of 1938. When Alice decided to appease Hitler.
It has nothing to do with that.
But anyways.
It's a kid's cartoon. What's that guy's talking about?
I think that guy's really proud of that knowledge.
Yeah.
So he, like, brings it up in any situation that he can.
He just watched the History Channel, like, a few minutes before.
Yeah.
This reminds me of...
Like, if he goes out to eat and they say, I'm sorry, sir, but we're all out of the tortilla soup, he'll be like, well, this is much like 1938 when the Allies tried to appease Hitler.
He doesn't like you.
They wouldn't serve him tortilla soup either.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, we have the tortilla strips, but we just don't have any soup. Well, that's no different.
I don't like you either.
Yeah. All right, next DVD is Crank 2 High Voltage DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
When I get your crazy Jason Statham movie on.
You know what? The first movie was a lot. It was just crazy fun. Ridiculous movie. Remember us watching that and going, man, this movie's insane. You know? The craziest scene is when they have sex in public in front of everybody, you know?
Yeah, and there's all the Chinese people on the bus
taking
with cameras.
Pictures.
But then, okay, what? I don't know. The sequel, was it any good, or did people just think?
I have never seen it, but I've heard it's entertaining.
Oh, High Voltage. Yeah.
On Blu-ray this week, Creepshow.
Ooh, nice. I love that movie.
Yeah, Hal Holbrook, Adrian Barbeau.
George Romero directed it. Stephen King wrote it.
I can hold my breath a long time.
Yeah, a long time. You know what my favorite is? Just always cracks me up is, where's my Father's Day cake? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I want my Father's Day cake. But there's so many great things, like the one with the cockroaches.
The cockroaches, the clean room.
And Leslie Nielsen is so great in that, you know, it's like holding his breath a long time. But I like it. I like Creepshow a lot.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 1080p remastered. It's only got Dolby True 2.0, but still.
But you know what, guys? Don't bring up Creepshow 2 to me, though.
No, I won't do that.
Don't bring up the Creepshow 2. Yikes.
No Creepshow 2 for you?
Nope. And next DVD is Friday Deluxe Edition on DVD and Blu-ray.
Hmm.
The ghetto comedy with Ice Cube and what the hell's that asshole's name? Chris Tucker.
What the hell did you just say?
Chris Tucker,
directed by F. Gary Gray, who's got a great name.
Huh? Say something.
You know, Friday is an awesome movie. It's hilarious.
It is very funny.
Just don't talk to me about next Friday.
How about the Friday after next?
The words that are coming out of my mouth.
That's from friggin' Rush Hour. We need some Friday drops, everybody. You know when he goes, you got knocked the F out! You know that?
Yeah. All right, Fringe on DVD and Blu-ray, the complete first season.
I love Fringe, and it's on Blu-ray? Oh,
yes, it is.
I bet it looks gorgeous.
They were having a tweet. You know, they were twitting on top of the screen, and they had the actual actors
twitting about
I heard that. Something about that, but I didn't.
I didn't know if you saw it or not. Anyways.
No, I didn't see that.
You know what I love most about Twitter?
It warms your ass.
Yeah. I can't wait till Fringe comes back. God, I love that doctor.
He was great. That really is a terrifically fun series.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
Next on Blu-ray, a movie that I actually really enjoyed, Terrence Malick's The New World. But yes. This is the extended cut, so it's even longer.
Holy shit! Because that's a long movie. That is it's interesting about that movie is it has two stars.
Yeah.
It's like the main character switches out in the movie. It's
Colin Farrell is John Smith,
and then it's Christian Bale.
Yeah, it's right. John Rolfe.
So it's basically like every woman's fantasy, basically.
Yeah, wet dream.
It's like, I'll have Colin Farrell for now, but then I'm going to switch him with Christian Bale later. But the movie, is it on Blu-ray, Bill, did you say?
Yeah, it's the extended cut on Blu-ray,
because
yeah.
I saw it in HD on HBO, but I bet the Blu-ray is gorgeous. Because that movie, one
yeah.
thing Terrence Malick knows how to do is he knows how to photograph a movie, am I right?
Yes, he does. And it's a 171 minutes.
Wow.
Which is 2 hours and 51 minutes, I believe.
What don't you fucking understand?
Oh.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, you're scaring me there, dude.
I'm concerned about him.
Oh, no.
Me too.
Dave, come on.
This is actually a pretty good week for Blu-ray, pretty shit week for DVD. Continuing on the Blu-rays,
yes.
Over the Top.
Awesome!
I mean, who at Warner Brothers went, you know, we got to get Over the Top on Blu-ray as soon as possible.
I know! It's a disgrace that this is not on Blu-ray yet! You must write the situation!
How is this not possible? Yeah.
Golan and Globus are very angry that this film is not on Blu-ray yet.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
Oh, no.
I want to see every Canon film on friggin' Blu-ray.
Oh, so do I. I want a... Wasn't this one actually directed by Golan? What's his name? Menahem Golan?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this one was actually directed by him.
I want to see Invasion USA... on Blu-ray.
There needs to be a Canon film set, like release them in volumes.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Stop it!
Wow. quite possibly the most questionable Sam Raimi film, The Quick and the Dead, on Blu-ray.
You're right. You know what? If you want to just look at cool camera movements and shots and zooms, it's perfect. But if you want to see a good Western, don't watch that movie.
No, definitely don't.
Oh, God.
But if you want to see Leonardo DiCaprio killed, that's
yeah, you can
plus.
See
that's
for that.
It.
Yeah, wow. I can understand why Sam made the movie, but, man, it's hard to watch now.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch. Especially
it's
for
bad.
The Alan Silvestri music, where he has the – he's doing his Ennio Morricone – but really,
yeah.
All he's doing is just disgracing him. Bastard.
Also, continuing on kind of the Blu-ray vibe here, Silverado on Blu-ray.
Ah, I love that movie. That's on HDM Movies every day, and I can always flip it on and watch it. I love that movie. Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah, just such a great, great cast, great script, great director.
Yes. And you know what? When we were off last week, didn't Big Trouble in Little China come out on Blu-ray?
Yes, it did, and it looks beautiful. I got it today.
Oh, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's cheap. I got it for like half off at Walmart.
Yeah, you're right. I think I read, is it like 14 bucks?
Yeah, it's 15 bucks.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Awesome.
And then I, as I was leaving Walmart, I slapped a child.
Oh, my God, Bill.
I couldn't help
it.
It wouldn't shut up.
That's horrible.
Oh, hell no.
I love that.
What's the significance? I don't know.
Okay. I'm trying to search for something else to mention, and I'm sorry, but there just isn't anything else.
It's like looking at a
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's all there is.
That's all the DVDs?
That's it. It's mainly a good week for Blu-ray, some good catalog titles, but DVD itself is nothing.
But you know what? The show's already 3 hours long. They got their money's worth, right?
Oh, they definitely did.
They didn't pay anything. Ooh. Bastards.
But we are starting a fund for a new computer, so
yeah.
If you want to send money for that.
I like the pretty lights.
Yeah, I want flashing lights. All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs! 4 years of DVDs, baby!
That's a lot of DVDs.
I want you to go and list every DVD you've ever mentioned on the show. Go!
No. My throat hurts too much.
We need a Rick movie.
You know what? After laughing...
Oh, yeah.
Pick one.
Give me like a minute while you do a wrap-up.
All right. Thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill.
You're welcome. You're quite welcome.
Kill him! Oh, my God.
Oh, I just thought of one.
Okay, what's that?
We're talking Canon films.
Yeah?
So why not have him review one of our all-time favorite Canon films, Death Wish?
Oh, yeah! Awesome! You're right, Bill. That's perfect. Oh, sorry, I got a little too excited by that.
But it is. It's just, it's so classic.
Death Wish.
Awesome.
Never has a such a violent, disgusting movie had such a womp 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 music moment.
They killed the giggler, man.
They killed the giggler!
They had no business doing that.
No, they didn't.
Oh, I love it, yes.
Not much left to the sucker.
Rick, please watch Death Wish 3. Because if you don't, we're going to be really worried about you, right, Dave?
I'm concerned about him.
Gotta love
that. If he doesn't watch Death Wish 3, I'll be very upset.
I will be very upset. All right, Bill. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs again.
You're welcome.
Kill him!
Oh, not again!
That hurt.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And...
I like the pretty lines.
All right, everybody, that was episode 175 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for listening every week and listening to Mulberry Old School. I just want to thank everybody for supporting us for these 4 years. If you're a new listener, old listener, whatever, the fact that you even listen to the show, I thank you very much. We thank you very much.
Thank everyone for listening.
Yes.
The fact that we do this show and then people listen to it is awesome. It makes it worth it. Well, not completely worth it, but it makes it worth it on some level.
If we were getting paid, that would be worth it.
That's really you know what? People, I would do this show every day for you if I got paid for it. It'd be awesome. It'd be the best job ever.
I have no problem doing that.
It really would. Bill and I were even talking about doing like a morning magazine type show where you have experts talk on the show about, you know, the right food to eat or your right backpack for your kids going to school.
Yeah, we're
going
to try to get Al Roker.
Where the F is Steven, you know, kind of like Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer.
It'd be great. So anybody...
What, I just have to describe the landscape around?
Yeah. If anybody...
It's a white hall.
Yeah. You know what? That sounds dangerous.
Name
where you're
that
at right
hospital.
Now,
Steven.
I'm concerned about him.
We'd have Dave guest on the show from time to time. But hey, if anybody
Dave
out there
the
who listens knows somebody who would like to sponsor our show, let us know. Because hell, we'll hawk anything, right?
You know, now, I would love to get like a sponsor for the DVDs or. You know, or you know, like, video game sponsor. We've been playing the shit out of Shadow Complex.
Oh, awesome game on Xbox Live. How about this? Guys, this week's What's on Your TiVo segment brought to you by Raisinets. Pick out those delicious Raisinets, Steven.
Love Raisinets.
Chocolate rake.
This week's DVDs bill brought to you by Orange Julius.
Oh, man. Those are delicious.
Ah, yes. And then cha-ching, just getting the checks, man, in the mail. Whee! Rolling in it. But
can I get a pina colada Orange Julius?
Hell yeah.
Okay,
sky's the limit. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
That is fucking cool, man.
Yes, it is. Now, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email. Also, go to nowhereamulberry.com and you'll find links to Mulberry Old School where you can listen to every single episode we've ever done. You'll also find a link there to After the Show. Remember when we used to do those?
Mm-hmm.
You also find a link to the old lunchtime show we used to do. Everything is available. It's all there for you, for the taking. Also, call us and leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. And you could also, you know, send an MP3, much like Sean did, much like Rick always does. Just email it to us, because, you know, if you live out of the country or something like that, it would rock.
Yeah.
And
who wants to make an international phone call?
Exactly. And also, you know, join our forum. I love when we see new people have joined the forum just to comment on something. You know,
yeah.
Just to comment on something like Tool Academy. Would be awesome, wouldn't it, Steven?
Yes.
Pissed off to the highest pistivity, bro.
Yeah,
pistivity.
Exactly. I'm very, you know, pissed off. But also, you know, if the guy who thought we were pretentious would no longer listen, I have a feeling, guys, he never stopped listening. He's out there listening right now.
He checks in from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, give us a call.
Give us a call and tell us.
We'd love to hear from you.
We've stopped picking on them.
Because, you
so
know,
much.
With someone with that much anger in them.
I'm concerned about him.
Exactly, Dave.
That was, you know, I was going to try to do cult news this week, but there just wasn't anything very interesting going on in the world of cults.
And, you know, we've already hit hour three, so.
Yeah, so there you go.
Exactly. I can't wait to do the Wasteland show with you tomorrow, Bill, as long as I'm not hoarse from laughing.
Yeah, my voice is hurting really bad right now.
I just lost it during the Dave stuff, and now my throat hurts.
Yeah, I can. It's like that base of the throat hurt.
I know. I don't. I'm not hoping to
make this
the
special 4-hour
episode. I'm concerned about him.
Yeah, for 4 years, each hour represents a year. But no, I've already got a splitting headache from laughing so much. That's the thing that's funny. When you laugh that uncontrollably, it's like your brain.
It hurts.
It hurts after a while. You know what I mean, Steven?
Yes.
Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a feeling, I just like, before we go.
My cheeks are hurting from smiling so much.
Before we go, let's listen to it.
I was waiting for him to say something else completely different.
Like what?
I don't even want to get into it. I'm like nightmares.
Yeah, I thought that's what you did to them.
Yeah.
What? Wait, this reminds me of something.
This reminds me of 1938.
No, that's not
what
reminds me.
Allen tried to appease Hitler.
Exactly.
I don't know what's there's no difference at all.
He doesn't like you.
Oh.
I don't like you either.
It's not very nice.
You'll be dead.
No.
Oh.
By the way, what species was that guy with the pig nose?
Pig nose man.
It's like, did his race ever appear again in any of the Star Wars movies?
I think his
what the hell was he?
I think maybe he was a splicer and he had the pig nose attached.
Oh.
I thought it was a shapeshifter and his dad had sex with a pig in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh hell oh. No.
That's kind of weird, Steven.
I'm concerned about him.
All right, we're leaving. Bye everybody.
We've been here for over 3 hours now, and I'm not sure if any of us can see what all this is supposed to mean.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
When's the Prozac going to kick in?
Now this is podcasting.
That is cool, man.